Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes who sit around and drink novelty beverages and talk quite a bit about Alex Jones.
You forced me into it because you watch a lot of Alex Jones.
But you don't.
I don't watch any of that shit.
That's why I need to educate you.
That seems like a stretch.
I need to bring you into the real world.
Don't we all live in a nicer world without Alex Jones?
We definitely would. I think he would live in a nicer world without him, quite frankly. Today, Jordan, you have brought in 1893 from the makers of Pepsi Cola.
1893 all over again, ladies and gentlemen.
2.0.
2.0 Renaissance, 1893.
This is a prosperity-based black currant cola.
Yeah, made by Pepsi and brought to you by all the sugar.
So let's take a sip here. Oh, by the way, I want to point out this is fair trade certified.
Oh, that's good.
They got that sugar on fair trade.
I'm sure they're definitely not lying to us. A faceless, shadowy corporation wouldn't do that.
That is okay.
Let's take a sip. It smells terrible.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, it's just okay, is what I'm getting at.
It tastes like sugar and a whiff of fruit.
So here is the deal beyond the soda.
What is the deal?
Last weekend, we recorded our fifth installment of the investigation into what happened in Alex Jones's life in 2015 that led him to support Trump.
I would love to say that I listened to that. Unfortunately, I just keep thinking of a game show called Here Is the Deal.
Yeah.
It's just people being disappointed by stuff.
And you're going to be disappointed to learn that we lost that episode.
We did lose the episode.
My computer crashed and it's gone. And it feels like it's in poor taste for us to try and remake the episode.
It would be impossible because...
Well, we could, but it would feel so stupid.
I mean, my part of the episode would be fake. It would be as fake as an Alex Jones laugh.
Well, and I'd be looking at you and trying to make the same points.
Yeah.
It would just feel so shitty.
Oh, it would be bad.
So I don't want to do that.
It would be fun, though, if my part was just played by a recording of me saying, I fucking know!
That'd be a nice wrinkle.
That'd be a fascinating episode.
So
the next time I'm gone, that'll be the Jordan fill-in.
To compound, we just need a squawk box.
Yeah, exactly. Oh yeah.
To compound
matters.
Oh my
god, that's how worthless I am. You could just replace me with like a morning zoo crew. Yeah,
just a very liberal minded squawk box. Who's a little angry.
A little?
Yeah.
Little. Come on now.
So to compound matters, I have been going to doctors all this week and have been real busy. Cause I got a growth on my face.
Yes.
So I've been, just super busy trying to, take care of that and really preoccupied, which takes me a little bit out of the game.
Of course.
On Alex.
Yeah.
Which is delightful.
I'm still betting on, spider egg sack. That's my bet.
No.
We pop it. It's an urban legend.
Don't like to hear this.
Gotta
By the way,
true.
I went in for an MRI. No spider eggs. It's totally fine. Also,
those machines are unreliable.
Also, lest you get worried, everything is okay, listeners. Don't worry. It's just a hassle and a pain in the ass for me. Actually, pain in the cheek. I had to shave my beard.
Yeah,
I feel ridiculous.
You didn't shave all of it. You shaved it into a just fucking fantastic goatee.
It's ridiculous.
It is.
I feel very stupid in public.
It is old prospector level of, oh man.
Yeah, it's the next level of don't talk to me.
We gonna get some gold today, boys!
Yeah. I'm just out there mining on the trains and what have you.
That's where you got that growth.
Yeah. So today we'll be going over the period of July 22nd to August 10th. Which was the original time frame of our fifth part of our investigation.
Right. Famous lost episode.
But
it's famous now.
We're going to be focusing much more heavily on August 10th because we didn't really cover that all that well in the original version. And there's a lot more to discuss there and it will actually be fresh.
Right.
But in order to be fair to our listeners who, you know, we're doing this for them.
Right.
It only feels right that we actually hit some of the important points.
Yeah.
From that time frame. So the first like half hour, 40 minutes of this episode might sound false on our part, but I also don't believe that you remember everything.
That's fair.
Yeah. So it might.
Although it also might turn into me being like, oh, I remember that.
So we start on July 22nd, and one of the most important things that we want to remind everybody is that Alex Jones is still very fooled by the Planned Parenthood videos that came out from the Center for Medical Progress.
Oh, yeah.
He's just hook, line, and sinker. It feeds into his narrative. He loves it. Unfortunately, they are deemed frauds.
Jail time.
Jail time is coming.
Here's how true those videos are. Jail time.
Everybody in Congress, it launched investigations. Every state legislature, they all found Planned Parenthood not guilty of any charges. But Alex Jones.
The best part is at least they still use it as an excuse to smear Planned Parenthood.
Absolutely.
And no one has gone backwards or retracted that at all.
And now all the negative repercussions are still coming.
Oh, man. But I can't wait.
In fairness, it's not like this video was the first thing ever to smear Planned Parenthood. It just fed into it in a terrible way.
They've been going for a long time.
Yeah. So here's Alex talking about that and then transitioning into something weird and probably a lie.
It's been decided by them, and I guess people just want to be ruled in a sci-fi nightmare, taken over, dumbed down, and then euthanized by these people. While they openly drink wine and go, ah, baby parts, Lamborghinis, ah.
It's made up people!
My father was in the top six smartest people in Texas, tested by UT when he was a junior in high school, and they called little David Jones in. And basically told him a bunch of this when he was 16 years old. He didn't even tell me about it until I was like 30 years old. That's how ubiquitous this is, that even my dad almost joined this cult and never even told me about it.
So Alex Jones's dad almost became a globalist. Also, you were screaming over it, but his dad is the sixth smartest person in Texas.
Yeah, well.
Or the world, I'm not sure.
Yeah. I would go with not the world. I feel like the sixth smartest person in the world becoming a dentist, especially one who is the birth fucking father of a monster.
The creator of this shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's dubious, but also it's just really funny how hard Alex went on these videos knowing what we know now. It's just fucking hilarious. Because whenever he tries to talk about how, like, my discernment is so right, I'm so on the ball about everything, I can't lie even when I try.
Well, according to him, eventually they will be proven to be true.
Mm.
New evidence will come to light, wherein, well, let's try and figure out some new evidence on those videos that might work.
Okay, wait, oh, we have to have new evidence of those actual videos?
On those actual videos.
That's gonna be tough.
What was the part that they censored? Is it like the 5 minutes of the Nixon tapes where they accidentally turned them off?
They didn't censor things. What are you talking about?
Like, I mean, the government.
Oh, I see. This is the spin.
Exactly.
Okay.
So there's lost parts of those tapes.
Right.
That would have exonerated the Planned Parenthood liars and finally taken down Planned Parenthood.
Uh-huh.
But the globalists can't allow that to get out because they need to keep doing abortions on all the black people.
So now here's what's fun about that theory.
Yes.
So so now this is like a Chi-Com nesting doll.
Exactly.
Because you have the videos that the Center for Medical Progress put out, which were heavily edited.
Right.
Then there was the actual versions that came out that exonerated Planned Parenthood.
Right.
Where it showed that the videos were completely full of shit and that the people weren't trying to haggle for money for baby parts.
Of course not.
But you're implying that there's a third version.
There's a third version.
Where?
Yes. Now, even though all those committees exonerated Planned Parenthood,
right,
they couldn't get that out there, the real truth. Do you know why? Controlled opposition.
Undoubtedly.
This makes perfect sense.
Center for Medical Progress is in on it.
It is declassified. When Alex Jones.
It's in the white papers.
It's in the white papers. When Alex Jones is 45, which he has been for 6 months now, or perhaps 6 years. No one knows how old he may or may not be.
Yeah.
He will be proven correct.
I like your confidence. I like the theorizing.
Also, part of this is that John Glenn isn't dead. that's a new wrinkle to this conspiracy theory.
What about
John
Glenn
is still
alive? Buzz Aldrin?
Oh, Buzz Aldrin's fucking dead.
Yeah,
man.
He's dead. So in this
number two to walk on the moon dies first. That's just the truth.
You gotta go down.
That's just the truth.
So in the next clip we've got here, the purpose of our investigation is, of course, to figure out when, Alex's mentality changed about Trump. So it's important to every time it comes up, we've got to discuss where his head was.
Right.
About Trump. On our last episode, we left off with the mentality that I don't trust this guy, but I'm gonna stop talking shit.
Right.
I'm gonna stop talking about how he's mobbed up and all that.
I'm gonna let this man say the bigoted things I wanna say.
Yes. I love seeing my bigotry on a national scale.
Right.
But I don't trust him. He's probably lying about how much hate he has.
He wants a big, like, movie opening. That's really what he wants.
Yeah.
He wants his ideas put out, like if in the movie Armageddon, instead of it being the asteroid, it is the government and black people who made the asteroid.
Sure.
That's what he wants.
It's a globalist asteroid.
Exactly.
And, you know, you gotta go mine it or something. I'm not sure. So
bring the coal jobs back
on that asteroid.
On the asteroid.
Maybe that's Trump's plan all along, baby. So in this next clip, Alex lays out where his head is at about Trump on July 22nd, 2015.
Why would Trump come out and say, "Oh, if you get shot down, you know, and get captured, you're not a hero. I don't want you to get captured." No, people that fly into dangerous areas and get shot down and to areas they know where you're tortured, that's pretty heroic. Trump's really savvy, really smart. He said that because he was getting too high in the polls. He was the leader. And he is being directed by top Republican strategists, PR people. That's come out. And Trump is really making me angry. And I told you I got a bad feeling
uncool
about him. He's super smart. He knows exactly what he's doing. And so just watch. He gets back in the lead again. He'll do more of the same. On purpose. He knows all about McCain. McCain is well known for all of his criminal activity. And Trump has to be watched very, very closely.
So he's talking about the comments that Trump made about McCain. Alex Jones believes that he made those clips because he knows he has to...
He can't be too far ahead in the polls, because then he might fucking win that thing.
Right, and that's not the plan
That's not the plan at all.
He's the Pied Piper trying to ruin the Republicans' chances so
exactly.
Hillary or Jeb Bush can get in there.
Yeah.
So that's where he's at. That's his baseline. And that's, you know, I think a lot of people were saying that then.
I think that was pretty much... I think Trump was probably saying that back then.
Yeah.
Just like, fuck, I need money. This is a great way to get people to buy my shit. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to get as much attention as possible. Then, whatever everybody realizes, I'm a fucking idiot who is not savvy, who is not smart, who is just an old bigot who watches too much Fox News, they'll be like, "We can't have you be president."
Yeah.
And I get to go away.
And that's great. Everyone wins.
Exactly. Literally everyone would have won.
Yeah. I like how Alex, too, is like, "I don't know. I don't think you can call these people who fly planes and maybe get captured cowards." You know, like, I like that he's on that tip.
He's almost there.
He's right in the big picture. He's wrong in the small picture.
Wherein McCain is a monstrous criminal.
And he was lying about being tortured, and he was getting pleasure women at the Hanoi Hilton.
Man, that would be a big lie to tell.
That's pretty big. another big lie about...
That's 100% swing in the wrong direction.
Yeah. Another big lie about McCain brings us to our next clip, wherein a caller is trying to explain that he's trying to explain that John McCain is trying to make it illegal to sell vitamins without getting prescriptions for people.
Right.
And I kept...
You know, like a good person would do.
I kept this in because the end of this call is fucking hilarious.
"And in order to buy a simple bottle of vitamins, he wants you to be required to get a doctor's prescription to buy a simple bottle of vitamins, yet you and I, being adults, can walk into any store in the country
and buy a
alcohol
gun
or tobacco, which can kill us without a doctor's prescription."
Like a gun.
Incredible.
"But McCain doesn't want you to be
so
able
much
to buy any vitamins without a doctor's prescription."
Hey, can I say
the
this,
man
John?
Is a
John,
Manchurian candidate.
He is a Manchurian candidate. Can we hire you as a correspondent?
Why not?
Yes.
You have a great voice, and you're even smarter, and I just am so honored. I'm not kissing your butt. It's true. You guys sit on hold forever. I'm up here babbling about space platforms and demons, and you're just so
space
smart.
Camp.
Nailed everything on McCain. You're the type of guy that are you internet savvy where you could, like, file audio reports to a portal or something?
Alex, I'm old school. I'm 69 years old, so I was one of those guys who grew up without the internet. But I have unlimited local and long distance, So I can.
Well,
like
there's so many great characters out there that are so smart, and you know, I would love to have it where maybe you could, we could find somebody in Wyoming in the town you're in who could work with you as a team and have you go out and do reports and stuff.
So he's got a, I mean, he has a house phone. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
I just love that.
I love the idea of Alex actually sending out people to be like, hey, we want you to go talk at this random thing. And he's like, dude, I'm a fucking retired old man with a landline.
Rob Dew, you're moving to Wyoming. You gotta help this smart.
That's right. He's in Wyoming.
Yeah. Fun fact, guy calls back on August 10th.
Mm.
I didn't pull the clip of it, but he calls back and has a, hateful screed about the Council on Foreign Relations.
Oh, did he get hired then?
No, but
did he at least get a check?
Alex does not even seem to realize it's the same guy. But it's very obvious.
Of course.
Old man Wyoming calling in. So I'm going to keep track of every time he calls in because he's now my new favorite character on the show. Because those are
random old dude from Wyoming.
Well, those are classic pipes. There's no denying that. You know, we want to mock all
Oh, yeah. No, he's got a great voice.
It's hilarious that he's a 60-year-old conspiracy theorist in the middle of Wyoming with a house phone. And he's old school, so he doesn't know about the internet.
That's right. Well, they don't actually have cell phones out there yet.
I've been reading about the globalist in magazines. I don't have the internet, so I can't read blogs that are full of shit.
I still open the yellow papers.
So Alex would probably want you to not get your information from blogs and what have you. He wants you to look into the globalists on a deep level.
Right.
And in this next clip, he has some things to say about vaccines, and then he misrepresents his own knowledge base.
Just remember when you take your 18-month-old in and get that third round of shots and they have a convulsion in the car and then they never talk again, that I warned you and it wasn't funny. It's not funny for Jenny McCarthy. She said, I don't know what's going on, but there was one in 25,000 30 years ago with autism, and now it's one in 58, and it's set to be one in 10 by 2025, and then one in 5, and then one in 3, until suddenly nobody can talk, and everyone's drooling, and the average person is throwing feces up against the wall, and then no one's asking, what's going on? Why is this happening?
Well, because they
there's
can't.
A giant
They're too busy
globalist
throwing
program
feces at the
poisoning
wall.
The food and water by design. Read John P. Holdren, the White House science czar's own book, written 40 years ago. 41 years ago now, in 1974, with Paul Ehrlich.
So,
where would you buy shit?
What do you mean?
If everybody was throwing feces. Like, that, what's the end game to that plan?
I don't know.
The average person,
mm-hmm.
Right?
I'm listening.
Okay, so they're all so damaged and destroyed by vaccines,
mm-hmm.
Which, yes, they are throwing feces at the wall.
Sure.
But that is not diarrhea caused by polio.
It's a mixed bag.
Yeah, exactly. There's you win some, you lose
pros
some.
Pros and cons.
Yeah. They are absolutely protected from the flu, mm-hmm. But can't talk.
No.
Right. So, you can't talk. The most of the population can't talk, mm-hmm. Throwing feces at the wall.
Yeah.
Like, where, like, so if you're a globalist, who rings you up at the grocery store?
You don't need to talk to do that.
But you're busy throwing feces at the wall.
But we all know the robots are coming.
Oh, that's a good point.
Alex talks about the rise of the machines. He's seen Terminator.
Okay.
He knows what's going on.
All right. So average people throw shit at the wall.
Right.
Globalists work with robots.
I suppose so.
And then
you'd need
and then everything's fine?
Well, I mean, the idea there, I guess, would have to be a profound welfare state. Like,
yeah, that's what the globalists really want. They just want to take care of people throwing shit at the wall.
Yeah, they want people who are incapable of feeding themselves.
They have a mother complex. That's what it is.
Oh, that could be. You might have cracked the code.
Yeah.
A couple things that are important to point out about that is we need to debunk something really quick. And that is the statistics about people who are diagnosed with autism are very misleading because, you know, 30, 40 years ago, people who would have been diagnosed nowadays as autistic would have been called a tard,
yeah,
or whatever, or locked in a room,
yeah,
or just this boy's weird,
yeah,
those sorts of things. There was a very unevolved approach towards a lot of mental illness, even in the 60s or 70s.
Yeah, you know? So, a lot of psychiatric medicine back in the 1800s was just a guy going around fucking up your brain with a knife.
Yeah.
Like, they thought lobotomies would solve problems.
Totally.
That was a thing.
That lasted a lot longer than we think.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty recent.
Yeah.
And so the idea that, like, there's been this exponential rise in people who have autism is probably not true. The numbers might be going up slightly, but the numbers being, like, massively higher, if they even are, I don't know if I've seen reliable statistics on it, but even if that is the case, it is just an evolution in diagnosis, not right. in the actual disease.
It's like saying, you know, a lot more people are diagnosed with tuberculosis now as opposed to back then when it was just ghosts.
Right.
The rise in diagnoses of tuberculosis instead of ghosts is so big.
Yeah. So then also...
It's exponential.
The fun thing, and the reason why I desperately needed to keep this clip in, is because I like to document every time Alex Jones references one of his primary sources about globalists.
Yes.
Because it's important that we knock out all of those supports.
Yeah.
Because they're stupid.
This one's Ehrlich, right?
This one is John P. Holdren.
I'm so far off?
Well, Paul Ehrlich also.
Oh, okay.
And then Paul Ehrlich's wife, Annie Ehrlich, who right. Alex refuses to give credit.
She was the one who put also Sprach Zarathustra in front of... Yeah, yeah, that's
which,
the one.
Which our listeners have very very astutely pointed out is Ric Flair's entrance music. So what Rick Derringer's wife did was throw Ric Flair's entrance at the beginning of Hulk Hogan's entrance.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Problem.
So
problem solved.
The three of them, John P. Holdren, Paul Ehrlich, and Annie Ehrlich, wrote a textbook called Ecoscience, Population, Resources, Environment. And it's where Alex Jones takes his ideas that the globalists are trying to put something in the water to decrease population. It's a 1,000-page textbook about resource management and what have you, and populations, and the implications of things. And everyone just misquotes shit. Everybody takes things out of context. They, and Alex is super guilty of that.
Right.
Here is the section that Alex takes his beliefs about globalists wanting to put things in your food in order to make you, infertile, I suppose. Here it is. Quote, "The third approach to population limitation is that of involuntary fertility control. Several coercive proposals deserve discussion, mainly because some countries may ultimately have to resort to them unless current trends in birth rates are rapidly reversed by other means. Adding a sterilant to drinking water or staple foods is a suggestion that seems to horrify people more than most proposals for involuntary fertility control. Indeed, this would pose some very difficult political, legal, and social questions, not to say anything of the technical problems. No such sterilant exists today, nor does one appear to be under development. To be acceptable, such a substance would have to meet some rather stiff requirements. It must be uniformly effective, despite widely varying doses received by individuals, and despite varying degrees of fertility and sensitivity among individuals. It must be free of dangerous or unpleasant side effects, and must have no effect on members of the opposite sex, children, old people, pets, or livestock."
Right. So it needs to be made of magic.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And I don't believe that there would be something like a uniform substance that would work on men and women.
Not possible.
So you would just have things that would make you, like women infertile, and then men would have all the jizz. Or
and,
vice versa.
And why would it go, yeah, why would it go with women being infertile? It seems way easier to make every man infertile.
Yeah, yeah, maybe.
That's,
I don't
know. One for sterilization would be to just, like, if you are convicted of a violent crime, you just get your balls cut.
We're taking your balls.
Yeah, we're just taking balls taking left and right.
But I think they did.
That would be the most racist thing that would ever happen. That would go crazy.
Totally. And I think suggestions like that have been made and shot down for similar reasons.
For good reasons.
So this goes on. Again, there's no sign of such an agent on the horizon. And the risk of serious unforeseen side effects would, in our opinion, mitigate against the use of any such agent. Even though this plan has the advantage of avoiding the need for socioeconomic pressures that might tend to discriminate against particular groups or penalize children, which is exactly what you were just talking about.
Right.
How in the past they have forced sterilization on criminals, and as we all know, that's not a good way to do things.
No, it turns out really bad.
Turns out there's biases in policing. And
oh shit!
Who gets arrested for things?
Who would have guessed?
Yeah. So again,
I've never seen examples of it.
Again, in this textbook, they are making it incredibly clear that this is not a good proposal.
Right.
There are logistical problems. There are moral problems. And it's just, it's not going to work. So they conclude.
Also, why would the globalists worry about putting something in the water when with climate change, they're just getting rid of the whole kit and caboodle?
Sure.
Like, it's easy to force sterilization on people when they can't drink anything and then they die.
Yeah. And you can just have your armored redoubt on the top of a hill or something.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So the authors conclude, quote,
where you keep all your robots.
Yeah.
And your autistic people pets.
Your poop throwing pets.
Exactly.
So they conclude, quote, most of the population control measures beyond family planning discussed above have never been tried. Some are as yet technically impossible, and others are and probably will remain unacceptable to most societies. Although, of course, the potential effectiveness of those least acceptable measures may be great. So they're conceding that it would possibly be an incredibly effective way, but it's impossible, and societies would never be cool with it. So it's not a reasonable suggestion.
No, that would be some serious globalist shit if you pulled that off.
They're discussing it because it's a textbook that covers all of it for educational purposes. There's other techniques that are shown, such as family planning.
Right.
Such as even in this next paragraph, they get into it. Compulsory control of family size is an unpalatable idea, but the alternatives may be much more horrifying. As those alternatives become clearer to an increasing number of people in the 80s, they may begin demanding such control. A far better choice, in our view, is to expand the use of milder methods of influencing family size preferences while redoubling efforts to ensure that the means of birth control, including abortion and sterilization, are accessible to every human being on Earth within the shortest possible time. If effective action is taken promptly against population growth, perhaps the need for more extreme involuntary or repressive measures can be averted in most countries.
I think the issue comes down to the fact that they're writing that section like a textbook.
Yeah.
So it's like, we're presenting this idea and then we're shooting it down.
Mm.
To educate you so you know why you shouldn't do that idea.
Yeah.
But they don't do that. They say it very dryly, like, here is what we could do. This is why we shouldn't do it.
Well, they're relying.
If they had actually just put in there, like,
don't do
here
this.
Here is what's going on. It's fucking stupid.
Well, but
then everybody would get it.
They're relying on an assumption that your listeners aren't idiots or your readers aren't idiots because it's a high level textbook.
Right.
And they assume that people are going to understand when you have, an educational text. It should cover all angles. So you learn about the subject.
So now who's the idiot?
Alex Jones.
No, they are.
Well, possibly Holdren. So they'll go on to talk about how it would be possible to have compulsory abortions under the current constitution were population growth to get out of control.
Right.
So as to like be an actual crisis.
Right.
The laws are written in such a way that it would be legal. But
again, would wind up being the most racist thing that could ever fucking happen.
Right.
That would be used like a pogrom to get rid of.
Totally.
Yeah. If you
undesirables.
If you had the GOP in Congress whenever that was allowed, fuck, we would lose generations of not white people.
Yeah. So, but the important thing to make clear is that statement of this would theoretically be possible under our law, forcing people to get abortions, is not advocating it.
And also, that is, like, again, if they had, like, a little, like, hey, we should make a law against this, that would, again, be perfect.
Yeah.
Like, they just don't come out and advocate for how stupid it is.
Yeah.
They just present it in an educational way, and they say, you draw your conclusions, which is a dumb idea.
Yeah. So they also, once people started spinning these conspiracy yarns based on this book, John P. Holdren put out a statement that the quoted material was from a section of the book that described different possible approaches to limiting population growth, and then concluded that the author's own preference was to employ the non-coercive measures before the environmental and social aspects of overpopulation led desperate societies to employ coercive ones. Dr. Holdren has never been an advocate of compulsory abortions or other repressive means of population limitation. Further, Annie and Paul Ehrlich came out and said, "We have been shocked at the serious mischaracterization of our views and those of John Holdren in blog posts based on a misreading of our jointly authored 1,000-page 1977 book textbook Ecoscience. We are not then, never have been, and are not now advocates of the draconian measures for population limitation described, but not recommended, in the book's 60-plus small type pages cataloging the full spectrum of population policies that, at the time, had either been tried in some country or analyzed."
Put out a shorter goddamn statement!
But they're making it clear.
Right. No, you could make it clear way easier by talking like a normal person.
Fair enough.
Like being like, "Hey, of fucking course we don't think this is a good idea.
Come on, dum-dum, what do you
yeah,
think?"
Yeah, exactly! That's a great statement!
Come on, asshole.
What else would you want from a great scientist than a final, like, big, suck on my balls, you fucking idiots kind of thing?
That would be great.
That would be amazing!
Yeah.
This is the problem with us. We're not scientists.
That's true.
This is our biggest issue.
We could be scientist type men.
Yeah. That would be fucking, that should be a job.
This is the new system.
That should be a job.
This is a Mad TV sketch in the making.
No lobbyists, no nothing, just the scientists put out the science and then we come out and we're like, "Look at this fucking shit, you idiots."
Hey, assholes.
We're fucking dying.
Yeah.
That's
what a lot of Twitter is,
yeah,
to be fair.
That's a good point. Yeah. That's a good point. It hasn't worked out well so far.
Unfortunately, there are a lot of hype men on the other side too. So
far more effective ones. You know why?
Hmm.
They speak the common man's language.
Sure. So Alex's
writing in their own shit.
Alex's arguments about Zbigniew Brzezinski, I have serious problems with based on reading some of his books and them not saying what Alex says they say.
Mm-hmm.
And now further, his argument that people are trying to put things in the water and into the food to sterilize you, it's on completely shaky grounds. That's not what this textbook was talking about at all.
Of course.
And if that's his only source on that, he's straight fucked. That is no good. So anytime he brings up that stuff, just know that a lot of it, when pressed to give a citation, this is what he gives, and it doesn't say what he thinks he says. So, great. I love it. You're... anyway.
You're so angry at the misappropriation of wonderful words.
You know what I'm more angry at?
What are you more angry at?
That we lost that fucking episode.
I know,
this
you're very mad.
This so weird.
It doesn't feel weird to me.
Glad.
I'm enjoying myself.
All right, well, you'll enjoy
this. This is the best part of listening to No Alex Jones. I am continually surprised.
So you'll love this. We're going to get back. This is July 23rd. That last clip was, and so are the next two. About an hour of the show is taken up by Dr. Group coming on the show. Not a doctor, he's a chiropractor.
Dr. Grouper.
He identifies as a fish.
Yep.
I cut out that whole thing.
You son of a bitch! That was my favorite part!
Alex Jones came out as trans species, because he's a dog. He wants to identify as a dog.
Who was it? Was it Paul Joseph Watson or Gavin McGinnis who?
No, PJW.
Yeah, PJW tried to.
Gavin McGinnis isn't in play yet.
He tried to make an argument like, "I'm a dog now," and that's showing you how trans arguments are stupid.
Yeah.
And
he's a duck.
Oh, he's a duck.
Alex, then I
retract my argument.
Alex is a dog.
Yeah.
Because he put some socks on his ears.
Oh, that's right.
And he made a video at home.
I remember he was abusing his children because
yes.
He forced them to watch him and videotape him making a transphobic argument. Like,
now that we're talking about it, I wish I had pulled the clip.
See, this is what happens.
You can find it on knowledgefight.com. I'll post it up there. Yeah, he had his elementary school age daughters videotape him making a transphobic video where he claimed he was identifying as a dog, and then had one of them dress up in a gorilla suit in studio.
That's right.
To further spell out the joke, which is not a joke, it's just bigotry.
He made his child out to be a monkey. That's
yeah.
what just happened there.
Yeah. And
yeah.
Anyway, that's heavy. This is light. Dr. Group did an hour on his new supplement, Deep Cleanse.
Ooh.
A lot of cleanses going on in the Group family of products, the Group
right.
Group. And, so I don't give a fuck about listening to him try and sell his product, but two very important things came out about Dr. Group's life and Alex Jones's life that the audience deserves to know about. The first one is about Dr. Group.
They're historically tougher.
They usually live longer than men. I mean, historically, women live.
But like gunshot wounds, anything, women, doctors will tell you, are more resilient unless it's just an upfront brutal attack.
Right. My mom actually was shot 6 times point blank range in the head with a .22 rifle, and she survived.
Good Lord. I didn't know that story.
Well, you were talking about resiliency. So
wow.
She survived that.
That's bad radio.
So bad. Tell me more about that. Nope. Good Lord, I didn't know about that. Moving on. No interest in you talking to the point where that sounds like a fascinating and interesting story.
It'd be crazy.
Am I telling it? Then fuck off.
Well, there's that. But then also, if Alex was to unpack that story, the most likely thing is his dad shot his mom in the head 6 times.
That's, oh shit.
If you use statistical analysis.
And he's still making up for his evil father's crimes.
Yeah, his, Dr. Group's backstory is that his dad created a bunch of toxic things that are invading the atmosphere.
Right.
And so he has dedicated his life to creating cleanses that undo the evils of his father.
His dad is Sean Connery from the Avengers.
Yes, absolutely. But yeah. Instead of weather stuff, it's, chemical manipulation of humans or
right,
something.
Right, right, right.
But
that's why Group makes these cleanses, to get bullets out of people.
It could be. But whether it was the dad that shot the mom, if Alex unpacks the story, it's gun violence.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to talk about that.
Oh, that's true.
Second Amendment, he doesn't want to hear any story, even if it's the most fascinating fucking story ever that would be great radio. It's, nah, man, nah, that goes against my gun narrative.
Ooh.
So, you know, that could be what he's doing, but it also could be that Alex Jones is brain damaged. And this next clip is slight evidence that Alex Jones might not be well in the head.
I think we already know that.
I know, but we're just building evidence up.
You want to move on to...
Absolutely. That was a really informative caller. But notice he got a big dose, so it hit him. He knew it did it, but the little dose, you just slowly ease into the fog. And that was just...
I just need to clarify, you know what, when we did this the first time, I forgot to do this. Second time, forgot to clarify again. They had just taken a call from a guy who was like a bug control person, a pest killer, and he had spilled some chemicals on himself, and so Dr. Group was telling him to take it. Oh, I got cleanses for you. So then Alex tells this story.
I was going to tell. I didn't know he was about to do that. One time, because I have a cousin who was, he finally got out of the Army after 35 years. He's an older cousin. And
yeah,
there were a few times where, well, I was working with him, but also his brother, my other cousin, and they would just go out for extra money.
How old is that cousin?
And do, termite stuff. And so my grandma would just say, when I was down there for a few weeks during the summer, I was like 10 when this happened. Hey, go work with them, you know, cause they'd send me to all different types of jobs just to get experience. And I remember going under houses with them, spraying, doing 3 or 4 houses, going and getting lunch, and just being high, even though I was wearing a mask, high at the Dairy Queen eating a hamburger after I'd gone and just done a few houses. And it was just so clear.
You know, he's
high
because he's eating a Dairy Queen hamburger.
And that's just what he was just saying. He spilt it on himself, and it was just in a daze. And that's what the general public's like. We're stunned in a daze, Dr. Group.
Yes, that's exactly what's happening, and that's why we're here giving out solutions.
Even you know that. Even Group has that pause of like, what? Sure.
If he were a real doctor, he would be like, oh my God, that's terrifying. Children's brains are very flexible, and you can really do serious damage by being stuck under a house with dangerous chemicals. Yeah.
I'm surprised that Alex Jones isn't in a room somewhere throwing his own shit at the wall.
Quite frankly, he might be projecting.
Yeah, that's true.
He might just be competent for like 4 hours a day. It's just a coiled spring, and once he gets off air, it's just, gotta throw my shit.
They just wheel him back into his home.
Yeah, it could be. So we've cut out a bunch of other stuff that we discussed on the first episode that we lost, but it doesn't really need to be discussed. I'll break some of it down. Alex Jones says a bunch of racist shit. He whitewashes the history
Jesus,
of Oklahoma
dude,
City.
Don't just sum up our podcast this fast.
He whitewashes Oklahoma City and Timothy McVeigh's history, and he cites as one of his sources for the truth about Oklahoma City, one Larry Nichols. So
ooh,
that's dubious.
Stevie Larry Nicks shows up.
Yeah, that's dubious. But he doesn't actually interview him. He just says, Larry Nichols revealed it all. Like, okay, well, that is not true then. Okay, you have invalidated your argument. Alex Jones revealed that what he lusts for most in life is enchilada covered in onions and a Dos Equis on a wonderful vacation watching his kids swim.
That's lust.
It's nothing. I'm a simple man.
He's a simple man. All he wants is that Bahama vacation that we all strive for.
So
using his millions and millions of dollars.
Alex finishes up his shift on Friday, July 24th, and then goes on vacation. He spends 2 weeks in Europe, and David Knight hosts for 2 weeks.
Ugh.
And I tried to find...
The ratings must have been way down.
I tried to find the clips where Alex reported in. I was only able to find a few of them, and they were just him playing vacation videos on InfoWars. It was hilarious, him just being like... He's just out at some Grecian agora, and he's like, you know, we're out here trying to find what's going on with the Greek economy. Give me some souvlaki.
We're investigating where these columns came from.
I'm drunk.
You guys see this shit?
I'm drunk on ouzo.
These columns.
Yeah.
They're up there.
These globalist columns.
They've been there for a while.
So it's nonsense. He claims that he's going to Europe, all over Europe, to get to the bottom of it. He's going to go find out what's up at the Vatican. He's going to go.
Sure.
He's going to go find out why all the countries in Europe are failing.
Right.
He's going to just dig into it. He's just, and like I said, he's reporting with his shirt off.
Right.
He's not doing anything.
How is this okay?
Yeah. So
there's just no equivalent to his show elsewhere. Like,
no.
The only thing that comes close, I think, is Jackass.
Maybe.
Like, that's as close as it comes.
Yeah, I guess so. And it's just wild, unfilteredness.
Yeah.
It's sort of hillbilly appeal.
Yeah, exactly. Just like, fuck it. They're doing it.
Yeah.
Who fucking gives a shit? Is it true? Don't care.
But Jackass isn't lying. They do hurt each other.
Yeah. Well.
Alex hurts us.
Yeah, exactly.
And by us, I mean all of us.
Yeah.
The greater us. So he's on vacation and he comes back to the studio on August 10th. On August 6th, 2015. What the first Republican presidential primary debate happened.
Right.
And
my theory was that this would be when he turns.
Yes. And as you already know, because we already went over it, he does not.
He does not.
No.
Dude, you could at least pretend that we haven't done all this already.
I can't.
You're just revealing it left and right. Just like, and as you and I both know, invalidating the entire concept of this show.
I feel like there's maybe a little more to the concept. I think maybe people like us, I hope.
I have never experienced that in my life.
Well, you're right, but I just can't pierce the facade of the fact that, I mean, I know people are listening, but at the same time, we're sitting in a room talking to each other. So if I were to be like, hey, Jordan, you don't know what's going to happen. You would know I'm lying to you, and
yeah.
I'd feel fucking uncomfortable.
But this is how acting works, Dan.
I'm not an actor.
You could be.
I don't know.
This is your chance.
All right. Who knows what's going to happen?
Oh, man, you're a bad actor.
So let's get into it.
The rise of your eyebrow betrayed you immediately.
I was trying to do a rock.
You are no Daniel Dan Lewis.
But am I Daniel Wayne Johnson? The Rock?
I got it.
Okay.
I got it.
There's the eyebrow. Come on.
No. It's happening. It's happening. You're a better
you can't
actor.
Look at me.
You're a better actor than I thought.
So this.
You're more of an impressionist.
Let's get to this next clip. We are into August 10th now. Like I said, Alex is back from vacation. The first debate has happened. Here is what he thinks about Trump.
We are back. Thank you so much for joining us. I will get into Donald Trump. All things Donald. This is Planet Donald. And I don't normally go with whatever the big distraction du jour is. I didn't cover the Malaysian airline situation. Now, of course.
He did. But also, I just realized he probably is using du jour because he was just in Europe.
I did not consider that.
I am considering it.
Have we ever heard him use that before?
No.
And he really leaned into it too. Like,
he kind of did.
I just learned it.
A distraction.
A du jour.
I have had some soups in the last month. They were du jour.
I have had some soups.
So yeah. Also, he did cover the Malaysian plane.
They think they found it.
Covering it.
I had a few guests on. I mentioned it when new developments came out. But compared to other media, mainstream media, alternative media, we covered it probably 1/100th of what they did. Because that was a pure distraction.
Fair.
What does it matter at the end of the day? It's a sad tragedy.
but compared to what's happening in the rest of the world, it is a diversion. That's why the media was running with it ad nauseum. But with something like Donald Trump, it's different because it's about the 2016 election, the future of this country and the rest of the world. And whether he's a shill, whether he is for real, regardless of who Donald Trump really is, the study example of how the media is handling this, how they're spinning it, how people are responding tells you a lot. And I'll say this. If Donald Trump flip-flops, or if he obviously falls on his sword, or drops the ball on purpose, or lowers his fist during the 12th round,
got it. How
he
many
will
more
be
metaphors
anathema and hated in this country, and there will be no...
If his chickens come home to roost.
Resuscitation.
If his eggs are in a basket.
With the body politic. That said, though, if he's a shill,
he hates Mondays.
He may not have a choice and is being blackmailed. Because I'll tell you, when you own casinos and you're involved financing both political parties and you're tied in with the folks that the Donald's tied into, they can indict a ham sandwich in this country.
I don't believe that's true, but I know you're using a metaphor, Alex. I'm going to let you off.
He's got plenty of metaphors
now,
in that
Nancy
one.
If Nancy Pelosi said that, Alex would be like, she thinks that fucking ham sandwiches can be tried in court.
Yeah, they would put that on a clip. They would put that in an intro. They'd run it all the time. Look at this dumb old broad telling us that ham sandwiches can commit crimes.
Ma'am.
The only crime a ham sandwich can commit is being delicious.
Ma'am, you are so delusional that you think food is under the rule of law. And look, that's how wacky Democrats are.
Hey, listen, Bill de Blasio, how about you restrict sodas some more? Do our ham sandwiches need to have less salt in them?
Yeah. So, I mean, look at that.
The answer is probably yes.
Probably.
Heart disease is a very serious problem.
So he's suggesting that Trump could be getting blackmailed into being the shill that he knows him to be.
He's wrong about everything.
Yeah.
But what if he fucking nailed it this one time?
Well, but he's right about a few things, you know, like civil asset forfeiture and marijuana.
True.
Those two classic examples we have of agreeing with him.
The only two examples?
There's a couple other things we've sort of agreed with him in principle, but disagreed with how he got to his conclusion. But, I mean, he's not always wrong. He's just almost always wrong.
Right. But this seems too...
This is big.
Like, all the narratives that we see now coming out about Russia, this seems like dead on.
Yeah, and I'm going to play you a clip a little bit later that you haven't heard that makes it all the more fucking scary. Because I think there is an indication where he tips his hat a little bit about knowing what the future holds.
Alex knows what the future holds?
As we've discussed, he speaks to ghosts.
It's true. He does speak to ghosts.
And he may or may not be psychic. So I think he has a premonition of what's to come, and it's a little scary. But
just like Lionel, he nailed it.
Yeah, but accidentally. So we go
just
on.
Just like Lionel.
Yeah. We go on. He has some more things that he wants to say about Trump.
So we will be going over Donald Trump, the good, the bad, and the ugly. What is he planning with the election? John Bounds' report
we'll
to be
also
aired
be going over
at the
Josie
start of the
Wales.
Transmission. It's up on InfoWars.com. Is Donald Trump a wolf in sheep's clothing? Shows the Washington Post and others admitting a year ago that Donald Trump was in conversations and consultations with his, quote, good friends, the Clintons, about should he run as a Republican, something Bill Clinton encouraged him to do. Zero Hedge has asked the same question. Is Trump the Democrat wolf in GOP clothing? Well, I know the Clintons love him. But see, they know that we're so desperate to hear somebody tell the truth about political correctness,
racism,
or anchor babies, or open borders,
racism,
or NAFTA, or GATT,
racism,
or scores of other issues, that we want straight talk. We're starving for it. We're like a man or woman in the Sahara dying of thirst.
But we want to
kill
the brown people.
And so we hear the truth, and we want to support it. We want to defend it. I do as well.
Do you?
But the only way to defeat a moral, strong, popular opposition to oppression, to despotism, to social engineering, to tyranny, is to lead the opposition.
Pied Piper shit.
But one thing's for sure, we're going to find out about Donald Trump. And as I said earlier, if Donald Trump betrays the American people
He has.
And drops out of the race when he's in the lead.
Not that
like Ross Perot did or something else. This country's a lot different than it was in 1992, 1993.
Holy shit.
And he's going to face serious repercussions. The only question is, are those repercussions going to be greater than the possible blackmail that he's under, that if he doesn't play ball, they're going to indict him? And believe me, Donald Trump is certainly in a position where they can dig something up on him. Because as I've said, I'm not even saying he's corrupt. The way the laws are written in this country, they can indict anybody they want, whenever they want.
I am saying he's peed on a Russian hooker.
Or ham sandwiches.
Yeah.
He's peed on a ham sandwich.
Yeah.
So
I just came to a realization.
So did I, almost simultaneously, okay. But I bet they're different.
Okay. Maybe. So going by the proposition that he is correct this one time, he's nailing it. He's the good twin sticking out of his ear, mm-hmm. all of a sudden starts speaking hard truths.
Right.
Think of this, alrighty? We run as Republicans.
You and I?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we just say racist shit.
Huh.
And get the Republicans to elect us.
Okay.
And then we fucking turn on them. We got 2 years where we can do all kinds of shit.
It's true.
We'll redistrict their...
We gotta move.
Oh, well.
We can't win here.
No, we can't win in Illinois. That's
no,
true.
No, we're gonna...
Okay, we go to the South.
Oh, okay.
We do some Karen Handel shit.
Sure.
And we just start hating on everybody who is correct in all things, right?
We could definitely make a Senate run, but I don't think that there's a vice senator.
A vice senator?
Yeah.
Are you saying I'm going to be your vice senator?
No, I was going the other way.
I want to be your hype man.
I want to be the man behind the curtain.
Oh, yeah. That's probably better.
You're the face of this operation.
I've
got a growth on my chin.
I would crush being racist for fun.
Here was my revelation. I think Alex Jones is nailing it, but he's looking at the wrong angle. Because he is assuming that the blackmail is coming from Hillary Clinton. And what he's not considering is that there might be other sources of the, like, influence and force that's being put
on him. That's true.
So I'm not suggesting necessarily that Trump has been blackmailed by Russians or the mob, but I am saying that Alex, I think his assessment is pretty right on, except he's not putting the pieces together. He knows that he's mob connected. He knows that he works in casinos and is a predator.
But he knows that he's laundering shit tons of Russian money.
But he doesn't think that that is where the influence is coming from. He thinks that Clintons know about that and can blackmail him because of that, as opposed to these mobsters being like, if we have our guy in the White House, we can run roughshod.
Yeah.
Make so much money.
As they have proven unequivocally.
Yeah, so I think
they are going batshit nuts.
So I think Alex is right, but he's blinded by his hatred of Hillary Clinton and his just dumbness about the globalist idea and the idea that Democrats want to force socialism to turn into communism, to turn into totalitarianism.
Right.
So he's
whenever they could have just gone backwards and skipped the socialism and the communism and just gone straight from democracy to autocracy.
Yeah.
It turned out it's super easy.
We've proven that it's possible.
We thought it would be hard.
Yeah, no.
It took like a month.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Yeah, give or take. So that's kind of where I'm at. I think Alex is missing the forest for the trees, in many ways, because he's so focused on the Clintons, so focused on fake globalists, and he doesn't see what's right in front of him.
Right.
And that is that he could have been right. He could have been a hero.
God damn it. He could have. He could have nailed it.
He could have been a hero.
There is an alternate universe, the best universe.
It's not that
where
great.
Where Alex Jones reveals the biggest story of all time.
What he knows about Trump.
The biggest. There would be nothing bigger than discovering by your dumbass InfoWars conspiracy theorist website that one conspiracy theory you have was perfect.
And wasn't a conspiracy
theory. Yeah, exactly.
It was just straight
knowledge going the whole way. God damn it. Alex Jones could have gone down in history as the Woodward and Bernstein of racism.
He could have. But I would make the caveat that that's not that great of a universe, because then we have a really arrogant Alex Jones.
Yeah. But, man.
And then we got to deal with, like, okay, I mean, he's never going to shut up about Sandy Hook now.
No, that's true.
He just took down a potential despot.
Now everything is fair game.
Yeah, now everyone thinks Sandy Hook was fake.
Right.
Great. God. Shit.
Hey, got one.
So he has more things to say about Trump in this next clip.
So I'll be getting into that as well. But I want to take your calls on the Trump situation starting in the next segment. I've got some clips from the debates. I also have Senator Paul saying he's a fake conservative.
That's true.
Which, if you judge Donald Trump by most of his past activities, that's true. He's been pro-abortion. He's been pro-immigration. But he says of workers, which I agree with, if they're skilled workers, we need them. And he's been a huge Democrat supporter, more than a Republican supporter. That said, he has been a critic of vaccines for more than a decade and linked it to autism and said he doesn't take vaccines, something I like about Trump.
So he's like,
how is that the win?
It's so weird that he's like all of these things. Like he's for abortion. Good. He's for immigration. Good. But he's crazy about vaccines.
Elect him.
The bad thing is the thing that he loves.
Yeah.
That's very bizarre.
Again, we should run as Republicans.
Yeah, it would be
We can get away with fucking anything now.
I think this recording might hurt us in our race, but it would be very
They'll never find it.
It would be very very easy just to take all of the dumb positions you know resonate with Republicans and just run with them.
Yeah, right? Why aren't we doing this?
I don't know.
This seems insane to me.
I think we would get killed if we did that. If we ran on, like, all of these fringe positions that are just super crazy and bigoted.
Right.
And then we get in office and we're like, guys, we're super progressive.
Right.
We are just dyed-in-the-wool liberals.
That would be fucking...
Suck up my balls.
That would be the best, though.
We would get killed.
God, the reveal would just be so good.
Some militia type would take us out.
Yeah.
I'm certain of it.
The moment we do good, of course. That's how that works.
Yeah. So, Alex, I mean, he supports Trump because of vaccines. And he gets into it a little more. He's just sort of like, you know what? I mean, I love Rand Paul, but he says crazy things. Trump says crazy things. And I like that he's making it okay to talk about these crazy things.
Right.
Even though I know that he loves the Clintons, even though I know his history says that he's, you know, exactly what I would hate, even though my favorite politician, Rand Paul, says he's an asshole, all of these things, I gotta give him a shot because he's saying crazy shit.
It's bigotry.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
It's like recognizes like.
Right. Rand Paul wants to be legislatively bigoted.
Yeah.
Trump wants to just say dumb shit.
Yeah.
That's why he's going to win.
Yeah.
And now dumb people who say dumb shit like dumb people who say dumb shit.
Yeah. And so that's sort of where his position is at the beginning
of
the show.
And that's religion. All right. I'm topical. I'm topical.
So he suggested that this show is going to be mostly about Trump, and he's not wrong. He does end up taking a bunch of calls about Trump. But before he does, he's got to get into a pretty serious issue that dovetails into a very racist proclamation.
Black people are made of cheddar.
So what do you think about Donald Trump? And then, of course, I'm just going to say this every day, because now is the season that folks actually care. I've made films about it. I've written books about it. I've covered it for 20 years.
Also, this is the summer. So he's not talking about the physical season. He's got to be talking about election season.
Right.
Right? I mean, because otherwise what is about to happen does not make sense. This is not weather related. It's not like Christmas is coming up, so we want to bring up the culture war.
Right.
That's not what's going on.
No. What's going on?
This is something I was informed of when I first got on air. A lot of times you'll hear me say I've covered it for 15 or I've covered it for 18 or I've covered it for 10. I've learned a lot in the process of every day focusing on what's happening in the world and talking to all these experts and all these guests. And reading your letters and books and the information you send in and your phone calls. I've been focused on this. But on the subject of them harvesting babies and implanting their brains in mice and pigs and cows and splicing them with spiders and jellyfish and you name it.
Oh, God.
I've known about that since day one because it's in scientific publications.
How did you know
that they were cloning human embryos 50 years ago, probably earlier? They've been splicing humans with everything under the sun so they don't have rights. Then they grow these humanoids up in these laboratories inside, not artificial wombs, but inside cows and inside pigs.
Okay. All right. I'm back in.
And now they've reportedly got artificial wombs where they're growing them in and there's stocks trading on this stuff, and I sit here talking to the public like they're a bunch of kids, and I'm telling them the Atlantic Ocean exists. You're like, really? Show me the Atlantic Ocean. And just because you deny the Atlantic Ocean exists doesn't mean it's not there. And it's key. And I
like
keep saying
this every
day. I'll say it again.
Then
go to your calls. If the public understands that they're selling baby parts and keeping babies alive to harvest their organs and implanting their brains in mice.
If they understand.
Yes, they're giving mice human brains. That was out 20 years ago.
It wasn't.
They're putting human brains in roaches, too.
Nope.
They use rats, they use mice, they use roaches. They're hooking brains up to computer chips. I mean, just, you name it, they're doing it. And that's what we know about. How do you get the public to understand that's only the tip of the iceberg? It's admitted the geoengineering.
So we'll get back
to what could possibly be underneath that if the tip of the iceberg is splicing humans and everything under the sun.
Cockroach.
What else what could be underneath that?
I don't know. So we promised on the last episode that we had on the lost episode broken down some of these hybrid things.
Yes.
These chimera things. So I want to run through some of it really quick.
Okay.
He talks about spider humans.
Yes.
And that is not real. That is based on a naturalnews.com article, about how, there was a woman who realized, doctor, not a woman, she, channeling Alex Jones there.
Delegitimizer. Great, Dan.
She's a doctor, and she realized that spider silk is incredibly strong and impenetrable, and she theorized that you could make a skin that was bulletproof using spider and genes,
right,
what have you, and she created a false skin that would be bulletproof.
Right.
And she theorized that it might be possible to splice something into humans to make human skin impenetrable.
Right.
It was a theory. She thought it was possible, wasn't testing it, and it's not being done. But this blog, naturalnews.com, wrote an article about it that said that she was, that was saying that this is happening. And the interesting thing about that is naturalnews.com is run by InfoWars employee Anthony Gucciardi.
Oh, naturalnews.com?
Yes. So
what does he talk about?
Natural news.
Nature?
Yeah, like spider people.
It seems like that's bad nature news.
There's a lot of, like, I mean,
What animal would you want to be spliced with for bulletproof skin?
Well, it would have to be a spider. That's the only one.
What about armadillo?
Maybe. Armadillos are weird, though. I don't want to live in the desert. I don't know. The climate's not good.
Okay. All right. How many bulletproofs? I think I'm going to go with, for my bulletproofing, jellyfish. So that way I can absorb all the bullets. Mm. They'll go right through me. I'll be fine.
And you and a bunch of friends could mold your bodies together and make a boat.
Yeah.
Like jellyfish do.
That makes perfect sense.
Super crazy, those jellyfish.
Then we'd be a lot like Jesus.
So, the other stuff.
That was one of Jesus' powers, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
He made the boat out of jellyfish.
In Philippians.
Yep.
don't know why that's funny, but. So.
It would be in Philippians, right?
Human brains are not being put into mice. And rats. That's important.
I love it. I just love it.
If you look into it, you can find articles about this. There are some tests that have been done wherein human stem cells are injected into mice in utero, and they do create some of the architecture of human brains within the mice. And the reason that they do this is because there are a lot of diseases, Alzheimer's being one of them. There are many degenerative diseases that can't be studied in humans while the brain is alive.
Right.
It just would be impossible. But with mice, you can do it.
Right.
And it's kind of fucked up. It's ethically gray. But the important piece to take away from it is, it's research that's going towards getting rid of horrifying diseases.
Right.
And that's a plus. That's what these ethical medical people will discuss, that, like, it sucks and it's kind of weird that we're doing this, but at the end of the day, if we can get rid of Alzheimer's, that's a win for humanity. So there's that, but
there have to be private conversations with those scientists where they're like, this is fucking crazy.
It's wild.
We're throwing this shit in a mouse's brain. Why are we doing this?
So Alex,
I love it.
Alex pretends, though, that it's like your brain is going in a mouse, and then you're going to see out of mice eyes.
God, I want that to be real.
But it's not. It's not. They're still mice.
No, I get that.
They're 100% still mice. And there are guidelines in place where any mice that have human brain cells in them have to be killed within, like, 2 weeks.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, it does suck, but it is just part of the testing.
Listen, scientists, if you are listening,
they are.
Just take out all the one time. Just take out all the mouse brain and just put in a shit ton of human brain cells.
And if people give you a hard time, hire us as your hype man.
Exactly.
We'll take care of it.
Because the truth there is, like, who doesn't want a super intelligent mouse one time?
I've read Flowers for Algernon. I'm okay.
Right? No.
I'm okay. I got the fiction version. I don't
need
it.
We know how amazing.
So sad.
Well, it wouldn't have to be this time. We'd get it right.
That's the human story right there. We'll get it right this time. And we never do.
No.
But
maybe the super intelligent mice people will get it right, though.
Alex's presupposition about it being, like, actually half human, half mice is fucking absurd if you know anything about science. Further, the stuff about cows we went over on the last episode.
Right.
So we can throw that one aside.
Right. Cows with tits.
Yeah, basically. And Alex saw a doctored picture and thought it was real. The pig stuff is all just about growing human organs within pigs. It's
right.
Not an exact science and isn't widespread in practice at all. And it's not, these pigs aren't part human.
No.
Further, I was talking to my doctor buddy, Dr. Gums, about this,
mm-hmm.
and he is a saint for humoring me about my dumbass questions. But I was asking him that, like, what Alex seems to be afraid of in some way is that we're putting these human brains into mice, and they're going to breed, and it's going to create races of super mice.
Right.
But
again, I'm totally on board with this.
But that's impossible.
As long as it's mice.
Right.
Like, no rats.
Fine. I like your stipulation there.
Yeah.
But it would not pass down to the children. In the same way that if you put, like, you know how there are those, like, those techno dudes.
Yeah, you can put an implant of a magnet in your finger or something like that.
Yeah, if you do that and you have a kid, you're not going to have magnet hands.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. So you can do this stuff. It's not.
Oh, yeah, I got hereditary magnets. Ugh.
These animals don't reproduce. And even if they did.
I got a receding hairline and I got a magnet in my finger.
Even if they did.
Thanks, Dad.
It wouldn't pass down. Alex is afraid of, like, this Planet of the Apes scenario. And it just is not at all what's being done. It's not possible.
Right.
So Alex Jones is just fucking, all this chimera stuff is based on, in the same way he doesn't understand what John Holdren's textbook was about.
Right.
He doesn't understand these articles he's reading. And I know that because on his show, when he's talking about these things, he flashes up the articles that he's talking about, and I found them and read them. And what I'm explaining to you is what they say.
Right.
It's not at all like, they're creating half, blah, blah, blah. It's not that.
Yeah, but don't you love this, Alex Jones? I love the fear-mongering about chimeras, Alex Jones. Don't give me Muslim-hating. Give me a fun fear.
If I have to choose one, yes.
Yeah.
Totally. Also, listener Madison tweeted at us, made a really good point. And that is that Alex might be talking about the Dulce base.
Okay.
Are you aware of the Dulce base?
Of course not.
I don't know how to tell
you. I'm aware of a very boring sea base.
Which one's that?
A dull sea base.
Oh, God damn it. I hate you so much. I hate you so much.
Yes! Yes! I'm going to score a one for me.
All right.
1 point, Jordan.
I like the idea. I like the idea that we now keep score.
Yes.
There's an arbitrary,
yes,
no
yeah.
rules system.
Yep, yep. This is like Whose Line Is It Anyways, but for Alex Jones-related podcasts.
I was trying to figure out a way to bring improv into this.
Oh, God.
So the Dulce base is, I believe it's in New Mexico. I did some looking into this a while back, but a bit of it has escaped me. But suffice it to say, I did a bunch of research into it, and it's bullshit.
Of course.
Basically, there is an army base, and 9 floors underground, the reptilians.
All right. You sold me, sir. Yeah. Edge of my seat territory now.
The reptilians are working with humans down under the Dulce base, and there's all kinds of secret experimentation going on down there. It's, it's all...
That's a Doctor Who plot.
Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there are space aliens working with people to create hybrids and all this shit under...
I would say that's a Matt Smith Doctor Who plot.
And all of the... There's a bunch of bases that are connected by underground tunnels where these secret reptilians work and all this. It's David Icke level
the
nonsense.
The infrastructure costs on underground bases are just... prohibitive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do it on the bottom of the ocean is what I'm saying.
In a way easier. Score one for me.
Okay, you get one there. All right. It's a good callback.
So, suffice it to say, he might be talking about Dulce Base, and if he is, that's crazy. If he's not, still crazy.
Yep.
But he's also misrepresenting everything. Now, I promised that this clip was going to end in something weirdly racial, and we're about to get to it.
Did you promise that?
I did. I said it earlier.
Oh.
I turned my phone off. I was sleeping part of the way on the way back. I woke up.
Turns out I was driving.
We're flying over Canada, over the pole from Europe. And I see a jet flying about, you rarely see this at 33,000, 35,000 feet, maybe flying 2,000 yards away. I mean, it's close, big, flying the other direction. And it had ice crystals forming behind it. And by the time I fumbled and turned my phone on, because we were flying on the same path, just the other direction, they were gone. I was watching the ice crystals disappear in front of me as we flew by the jet. A, they were forming at high altitudes like they're supposed to. B, it was dissipating within 30 seconds. That's the condensation trail we all grew up with. And see, there's an example. When you're awake, everything is incredible because you see the propaganda, you see the manipulation, you see the mysteries, you wonder what else is going on, and what am I getting at? It's Manhattan Projects in top of Manhattan Projects. It's a Manhattan Project with the human cloning they've kept quasi-secret. It's a Manhattan Project squared with
I don't
the
even know how you
the geoengineering.
That.
Which is admittedly going on, but again, all the specifics are classified. And it's like, what are they doing? Underground bases, clones, spraying stuff in the atmosphere, aborting half the black people?
Again!
And
why?
I can't get white people, black people, nobody. I'm like, they're killing half of you. I'm sorry, some cop shot one of you, and you're making it a big deal.
Fuck
you. George Soros
you
is telling you to focus on this.
Fuck you.
Because it's divide and conquer. The mainstream media is pushing it. Can't we come together and say, what are you spraying?
So his version of can't we all get along is...
What are you spraying?
Yeah. So it's in particularly...
An angry homeowner at his neighbor. What are you spraying out there, huh?
Is that Roundup?
Is that DDT?
So it's in...
I don't know where that neighbor comes from.
I don't know. Either the 70s?
Yeah.
It's in particularly poor taste that, we are looking at what he said in 2015, but this is on the heels of, like, Ferguson happened not too long before this.
Yeah.
The Charleston shooting happened a mere month before this or so. So.
How do you not get how incredibly racist it is to wave it away?
Right.
Even if you think it's not that big of a problem, shouldn't you at least have some sort of empathy with why people are angry?
No, because they're dumb, because they don't know what they're spraying up there.
But a guy just got murdered by the cops! Can't you at least for 1 second be like, oh, and it's bad that black people are getting murdered by the cops. He doesn't even say that. He's like, you guys are distracted by it. Not this is a tragic event, and it's a distraction.
And
not... This is bad.
And you've fallen for this dumb old Jew's trick, his perception of George Soros.
I was going to say, I thought you were saying that.
No.
Like, I thought you thought I had fallen for it.
No. He's saying that everyone who's mad about these things are just tricked by George Soros, and it's divide and conquer. Because if we came together, we'd be able to find out about these,
what are you spraying?
Right, when his story about being on a plane was not seeing chemtrails. So
yeah, that's what that's what really confused me, because I remember listening to this clip and being like, wait, was he saying the jet was good or bad? But now I listen back to it and he's saying like, all of this happened like it's supposed to.
Yeah.
So yeah. What's your story? Were you going to get out your phone to take a picture of like, and here's good things? No.
No. I think his story is that like,
bullshit.
Every other time it doesn't look like this real time. I think that's maybe what he's getting at, but it's not true either.
And that's why they're aborting black people.
Right.
Because this plane looked all right.
Speaking of abortions, Jordan.
Oh, no.
Our next clip is where we begin what you have not heard from the August 10th episode. He gets more into Trump, but in this next clip, he directly contradicts things he said in the past.
You know, like on the issues of him, you know, used to be for abortion and whatnot, you know, just like yourself, like you said, you've been involved in them in the past. Like myself, I used to believe in it, but thought it was about women's rights. But, you know, you come along on those issues once you start learning more and more about it.
Well, sure. So, and to be specific, I wasn't paying for them. I wasn't involved
in
that
sense. You said you paid for them!
Other than the fact that I knew what was going on and didn't do enough to stop it. And in a way, that's a coward's way. It's almost more cowardly what I did, kind of blind eyeing it, than in there pushing for it. So let me be clear. It was very cowardly and bad and not good for my family name, and low, the way I was when I was, say, 18, 20 years old. And I repent of that.
Too bad. You now have to repent for lying, because either that or the time you said, and I quote, I don't judge people who have gotten abortions. Hell, I've paid for them.
Yeah.
One of those is a lie, Alex. And
yeah, guess which one is a lie? Of course he paid for abortions.
No, I think we actually have clarified on a past.
And thank God he did.
I think we've clarified on a past episode his dad paid for him.
Right. Oh, that's true.
So he might not actually.
Which is even more of a coward's way out.
Yeah, so there might be a tripartite lie going on where all three of these are kind of lies.
It's a triangle of lies.
Yeah, but be that as it may, come on, Alex. Just feckin'.
It's like he's in a romantic comedy with lying.
Yeah. He had a meet cute with abortion back when he was 18. So
I was walking down the park.
Uh-huh.
And I just bumped into this abortion and I was like, oh my God, it is love at first sight.
So
can I pay for you?
So for the rest of I would say a large part of this episode, we get to get a really good glimpse into what Alex Jones's mind was like on August 10th, 2015, about who Donald Trump is and what he thinks about him. He says a whole bunch. And we're not seeing a real change in him.
No.
And we know for a fact, just because, you know, we live in 2017, that in December, Alex has Donald Trump on the show.
Right.
And this is 4 months before that. So something has to really, really pivot, and we don't, like, you'd think you'd see it by now, and it's not.
Yeah, especially with how into him he is immediately following that.
Yeah.
Where he's full on, like, Donald Trump is the next Jesus!
And I'm not saying that because he came on my show.
Yeah.
Which might end up being the case.
It could just be that, couldn't it?
It could be that simple. And if
he got a jerk session from Trump, and that was it.
If that's the case, that's fucking insane. So here
he is a star fucker, though.
Here's this next clip where Alex, again, is pretty right about Trump.
On Trump, look, this guy's a playboy. He's a party animal. My big concern is I think he's blackmailable big time. He's involved in the casino business. That's as dirty a business as they come.
How can you be so right?
I don't have a good gut feeling about Trump.
I know.
Overall. Him specifically, I don't have a bad gut feeling, but the whole process just feels like a setup. But at the same time, you got to defend him because what he's saying is true. So how do you separate that dichotomy from what he's saying is true? So they're attacking what he's saying. So you got to defend it because what he's saying is true. But at the same time, I've got some concerns.
So, I mean, he's wrong that what Trump is saying is true, but he's right about the bigger picture. You know, he is super blackmailable.
Right. Well, see, and again, this is our cover for running as Republicans.
We're being blackmailed?
No.
Oh.
It's, you can't, look, yes, we've said some very progressive things in the past.
Sure.
Yes, maybe I've said some jailable things.
Mm-hmm.
But, what I'm saying now is true, so you gotta defend me.
You gotta give me the benefit
of
the doubt.
That's how easy Republicans are. As long as they have
or at least libertarians.
Right. Well, as long as they feel like they're under attack, or at least their ideas are under attack, they'll support who's ever saying them.
And they always feel like their ideas are under attack.
Exactly.
You know,
it's so easy to become a Republican politician.
You know what I've kind of come to realize? It's just that social progress and people being equal is an attack to people on the conservative side.
Yeah. Well, if you've always been number one, the idea that everybody becomes equal to that seems exactly like you're falling.
Yeah.
So if everybody goes up, that feels like you're not as high as you used to be.
Sure.
So it seems, and also I think it's just they're mad at problems that will not and cannot be solved for them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the solutions they want are impossible. As we've talked about, coal jobs aren't coming back.
Nope.
We have fucking robots. I get that you're mad about that, but you're losing to robots. Like, that's not going to stop.
And it's an inevitable tide.
Right. They're mad about immigration. That we have a statue that says, come on in.
Oh, give me your weak, your tired.
Yeah. No matter how much you fight against that, the only way that stops is if Donald Trump becomes a literal dictator and starts standing on our borders with knives. Which, frankly, if that's the worst that he does, I'm fine with it.
That's a hell of a wall.
Yeah.
If you just have tons of
just
people with
Donald
knives.
Trump.
No, just a no, bunch of Donald Trump.
Just a bunch of.
You can clone
them. Now we're cloning. Now we're back to cloning.
You clone them in sheep bellies. So one of the things that happens on this episode that's kind of fun is that Alex takes some poles around the studio.
What does he think he's gonna get?
He wants to check the temperature of the studio, check the temperature of his staff about what they think about Donald Trump.
Right.
So we got a guy in the control booth here named Joe Jennings, who I don't think works there anymore. I'm gonna guess, based on the things he says in this clip, when Alex asks him, what do you think about Trump?
I wanna go back to the crew in the control room, then back to the callers, John, Walt, and others that are holding. I wanted to go to Joe Jennings. Joe, what is your view overall on Donald Trump? What's your take?
Alex, why does the country need a megalomaniacal, narcissistic bully to pull it out of the rut? That's just not what America's about.
Well, you're Napoleon awesome! Helped.
Oh, yeah, Napoleon helped. Look where it got him.
There was another guy that was pretty confident in Germany.
Yeah, he did a good job.
No!
Pretty good on population control, too.
Well, you talk about killing Germans. He got 20 million Germans killed.
Oh, yeah. I can't believe what Trump is saying.
So we'll get back
to JJ, Bubby, you do not have a job for much longer.
We'll get back to the rest of his comments, but Alex is so mad that everybody compares Donald Trump to Hitler. You just did.
You just compared him to Hitler.
And Napoleon.
Yeah. And in like a positive light, like, hey, these guys worked out.
No, he's joking. You can tell he's joking.
I don't know.
No, he's comparing Trump to like dictators when he's saying that like there was a guy in Germany who was pretty confident, he's fucking around. He thinks that's a bit. He's joking, saying positive things about Hitler in order to compare Trump to him.
Right.
In a negative way. He's saying negative things.
Hmm.
So everybody, it's fair game. Trump Hitler stuff is fair game now.
I kind of think Alex likes Hitler.
It's possible.
I kind of think
I just can't believe that would be a good choice for the country. Yeah, okay, screw everybody. You know, I'm Donald Trump and we're the U.S. and who cares?
That is a great Donald Trump.
He's doing an impression of Alex in 2 years. Like, he's doing a future Alex impression and he doesn't even know it.
That is true.
It's fucking amazing.
Yeah. Move over, Anthony Atamanik.
I just don't think that's the way we should be going.
But we're being dominated by the bullies of political correctness. Don't you see, though, that... And I'm not disagreeing with you, Joe, overall.
No.
People's response is they want somebody to throw it back in the face of the establishment. The problem is he comes out of that very establishment as a very slick salesman with a lot of charisma. And so we have to debate his providence and if he's for real. I think he could be for real. I'm not saying he is. I think he could actually want to be president, actually want to save the country. There have been a lot of leaders who were macho and arrogant, who were not evil, who were able to pull countries out of a rut by having confidence and giving people the perception of confidence.
The problem is a lot of times they turn into men on white horses, like Napoleon Bonaparte. That's where we get the saying,
or fucking he rode a white Putin.
Horse. So in comes, in rides the man on a white horse.
Yeah, so I mean, he is a little bit saying that, Hitler had some good qualities.
That's what he's saying.
He got them out of a rut.
That's what he's saying.
At the cost of millions of people's lives.
The craziest part is that these guys are right.
Joad is.
Joe
Jennings is right.
Literally everybody, including idiotic InfoWars people, were right about Donald Trump. The only people wrong about Donald Trump were 25% of the worst people on the planet.
And you gotta kinda suspect that even the people who were working for Trump, the Roger Stones and shit, they were right too.
Oh, they knew exactly what
they
were
doing. But in the worst possible way.
Yeah.
You wanna know something else Alex is right about?
What?
This next clip is fucking scary. This next clip, he predicts almost exactly what's going to happen
Jesus
in the world.
Jesus Christ, that can't be true.
I told you he might be a soothsayer. And this next clip, it's
he
insane.
Talked to the one good ghost in his family.
Mic down for this one, because it's scary.
And absolutely, Trump almost talks like he's some foreign leader, where he's like, your leaders are this, your leaders are that, your leaders are idiots. And you're right. No, our leaders are compromised, sold out to globalists, and part of a plan to bring down the world economy and on its back introduce the new planetary government. That's been admitted, with the Pope now calling for it. So we've reached this epic point, and maybe they're going to give us Trump as a strong man during the collapse to then bring in fascism. I mean, let me tell you, the Tea Party and conservatism and libertarianism is hyper-sexy, hyper-popular, hyper-growing, but it can easily be twisted into a form of fascism.
What the fuck?
And just like the Democrats are a cult of communist wannabes led by fascists. I mean, they are a drooling, knuckle-dragging cult that don't look anything like their predecessors that were very good on many points. But the Republicans during this dumbing down can flip and metastasize into something just as nasty. And all I know is something big is about to happen.
So, I mean, right there in that clip, Alex Jones 100% predicts the rise of Mike Cernovich. He predicts the rise of Gavin McGinnis. He predicts what he will become. And this, to me, tells me that he's not the same man, even on August 10th, 2015, as he will be probably at the end of 2015.
And not just that, but he predicts that they will be overtaken by totalitarians.
Yeah, that the Tea Party and the right wing are completely susceptible to fascism.
It's amazing!
Yeah.
How did he do that?
He has a very amazing insight into his own group.
Yeah.
Which he now completely lacks.
That is bananas.
That is scary.
I refuse to believe that. And this is the craziest part. This is before, like, Sarah Kendzior and all of those people. This is before people are talking
Sarah was still talking about it before then.
Oh, okay.
She was in, cause she was-
Fine. A mainstream.
She was publishing stuff, like, over the summer.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So we're into the territory where she was already issuing a warning.
Okay. The point being,
and Paul Manafort
that-
and shit.
Nobody in the mainstream, everybody was treating him as a joke.
Yep.
Alex Jones is the only person who's like, hey, Republicans are fucking fascists. I don't know if you guys noticed this or not.
No.
This is bananas.
He's not saying that. He's saying that they're susceptible to it.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, it's predictive in some ways. It's fascinating that he knows that.
And, yeah.
But he's not saying that they're going to be. What makes me really scared about that clip is that, in the same way that when I first discovered the clip where he was talking about Trump being mobbed up,
uh-huh.
I was like, the fact that you know that and you changed your mind means something big.
Right.
That means that in your head, you learned something that precluded your knowledge of his mob ties. This clip proves that whatever happened made him okay with becoming this thing that he's afraid of. Like, he, in this clip, is saying that the right wing is susceptible to fascism, they're susceptible to becoming this metastasized, ugly, ugly thing, and-
Like him.
And, yeah.
Like, he's so, like, he basically just looked in a mirror and he was like, you know what, I think I might be susceptible to fascism.
He's aware of it and he lets it happen, which-
And not just lets it happen, openly advocates for it to happen.
And assists in the rise of these other right-wingers who are completely scary.
Yeah.
The people, like I listed, like Mike Cernovich.
Insane.
Like Rebel Media, Jack Posobiec types. Like, he is, he's complicit in all of these things that he's ostensibly issuing a warning about as it relates to Trump.
Yeah.
So, he knows. He knows what he's doing on some level, I think. That's scary.
This is bananas.
Yeah. That clip to me was very unsettling.
So I, like, okay. I don't think it's blackmail. I think
with
it's,
Alex?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's a shit ton of money.
No.
If there's one thing I know about Alex.
I don't think so.
He loves money.
He does, but I don't think that, I don't think that he would give up his future career prospects just for money. Because I think he has a good operation going, swindling his fans.
Right.
Like, I don't think that you could.
But imagine he was promised a TV show where he gets to do the same thing.
I mean,
he's going to make so much more money.
Yeah, but I do also believe him that people have offered him TV shows in the past.
I agree.
Like, that part I do believe.
But again, the conversation we've had about that.
If Trump TV came into being and was on TV, he still couldn't do things on that channel he couldn't do on Fox.
But that's the promise.
What, you can just say whatever bullshit you want?
Yes.
But Fox would let him do that too.
I don't think so. I think that was exactly the conversation.
Yeah.
That Fox was like, yes, we will let you spout crazy bullshit, but only to a point. Mm-hmm. And Trump was like, dude, I don't give a fuck.
I think that that's not enough. I think if he let him run Trump TV or something like that.
Okay.
Then maybe.
Okay.
Maybe.
Gets his own TV show
network.
And Mercer.
Gets his own network.
All right. I'm going to pull it back from network.
No, because I don't think a show is enough for him.
Okay.
Because he would need to control
$30 million from the Mercer.
He would need to control the entire narrative of the network in order for him to really deem it worth his time.
Right.
Because otherwise, if you look at just the growth pattern of InfoWars, I mean, it's been 20 years that he's been doing it,
mm-hmm.
but the first, 10 weren't that great.
Right.
Or so. He's had a pretty
steady rise in the past 10.
And pretty impressive
rise.
If he were to look at his growth and be like, okay, this guy is trying to get me on board with him that I know is mob connected, and I'm worried that he might lead our people into fascism, I'm gonna need something that is out of the question for my potential to gain. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
If InfoWars keeps growing at the current rate, if we expand in the ways that I know I'm capable of doing, because I've been doing it for years, I need something I could never achieve on my own.
He gets to kill a globalist on TV.
He might have already. We don't know that.
That's true. We don't know that.
He killed Piers Morgan's career.
All right, you get a point for that.
Thank you. Yep. I'm in the lead.
That's 2-1.
I don't know. It's interesting to speculate about, but what's most fun about speculating about it is we're speculating about a counterfactual, because Trump didn't lose.
No.
And Alex didn't, he clearly didn't get what he needed.
Right.
Whatever that thing was, which leads me to think that there wasn't an arrangement like that, because then, like, Alex isn't dumb enough to be like, okay, if you lose, I get to control your TV network and not have a contingency plan of what do I get if you win? And it can't just be tons of money. And it can't be.
Okay.
I don't know.
It can't boil down to pure bigotry. I can't believe that.
It can't.
I can't believe that it's just purely, I love how Trump hates Muslims as much as I do.
And it doesn't feel right that it's just out and out star fuckery either with like he came on my show.
Right.
Because this is major.
It really is.
He is the guy who's all about freedom and libertarian values and free market and blah, blah, blah. And he's worried about Trump leading us into fascism, and he knows he's...
And Trump is leading us into fascism and is destroying the free market.
Yeah. And so if Alex really understood the things that he is concerned about, after Trump won, he would be able to see these signs and these road markers and be like, I have gotten on the wrong team.
Right.
And he's not even close to that.
Yeah, but also that would be admitting that he didn't get on the right team, which he can't do either.
But that would be huge. I think that that would be fine.
Not for him.
I think his listeners...
That means he would have to say he was wrong.
So what? There's
what do you mean, so what? It's Alex fucking Jones.
There's a way to do that powerfully. We've talked about it.
Even the Pizzagate thing. He still can't say he was wrong.
Well, we've talked about it. There's a way for him to do that that doesn't make him emasculated. There's a way to present it as, I was completely lied to. I had this supposition or whatever. I mean, he missed the chance if he really wanted to jump off.
No, it's too late for that now.
Well, no, it's possible. Something could happen that he could turn a molehill into a mountain.
Right, that's true. That's
but
true.
The chance that he had was that when Trump announced that he's a globalist. When Trump said,
true.
I'm a nationalist and a globalist.
That's true.
That's when Alex could have been like, look, guys, Roger Stone has been telling me a lot of bullshit. And he'd have to make a clean break with Roger Stone, obviously.
Oh, of course.
And he'd have to change all of his reporters' perspectives. They'd have to just be like, look, we got conned, and it would be possible. He could do it.
Think about his listeners, though.
I think
they would absolutely, if they bought into him, they would try and kill Trump.
No, it's, well, yeah, maybe.
I think they would totally try and kill Trump.
That's possible, yeah.
If Alex came out and was like, uh-oh, red alert, Trump just revealed he's a globalist. His listeners who did buy it, mm-hmm. of which I would assume 90%.
No.
I think he would lose some, because a lot of people really love Trump.
But look, okay, I was telling you that he's taken calls through a lot of this show, and most of them weren't worth it, so I didn't clip them. But one is coming up that you'll see, and it's very indicative of all of the calls that he gets. And they're all just parroting his opinion back to him.
Okay.
They're all just, he says these true things and I like him, but I don't trust him.
Right.
All of his callers basically just have whatever perspective he tells them to have. So whenever he takes these calls, it's a very rare thing for someone to have a narrative that doesn't match up with his.
Right.
In the same way that Old Man Wyoming calls in and says, all these things that you believe in, and maybe some slight variations, but with the same narrative. You know, John McCain wants you to not have vitamins.
Right, right, right.
So, like, I think that it would be a pivot, certainly.
Right.
But I don't think he would lose that many people.
All right.
I think people are built into the cult of personality that he already has.
So what you're saying is we need to weaponize Alex Jones.
Well, he could say, I found documents, or something like that. He could say there's some report that he got that proved that Trump was lying to him the whole time.
Oh my God, we could just tweet at Paul Joseph Watson and he'd probably believe it.
I think he's been bitten, he's been snake bitten on
he's
that
been,
one. So
he's
I don't
been
think
snake
he's,
bitten.
He's not gonna fall for that again.
Oh.
But, you know, it's really fucked up. We could speculate all night long, but we got a few more clips we got to get through.
Okay.
So suffice it to say, Alex Jones is really fucking aware of what he's doing in ways that we didn't realize before, because that clip spells it the fuck out.
Yeah.
So in this next clip, Alex Jones is on a call with a guy who is basically parroting his opinions back to him. And you remember that earlier comparison about Hitler?
Yeah.
This one is a little bit worse.
So who do you think Donald Trump is, deep down?
Well, I agree with him on vaccines, and I agree with what he's saying. The establishment is using him as a way to basically ignore Rand Paul. They know the more they attack him, the larger he grows. And I think he's for global government. And would be happy to hold a position in a larger global structure.
I agree with you. Wow, what an informed, involved audience we have. Again, what should happen to Trump politically? You know, he's being promised a lot if he is a shill to play the part of Judas Iscariot against America, because he knows what's going on. He's a smart guy.
He's even speculating that he's Judas. And Alex isn't a Gnostic, so he doesn't believe that Judas was a good guy.
Oh, are we sure?
I'm pretty sure.
All right.
Because a lot of his beliefs don't match up with Gnosticism.
That's true.
It's just weird. But it's a weird Christianity that's not Gnosticism.
Yeah.
Because for those of you who don't know, Judas in the Gnostic Gospels is, he's working with Jesus.
Well, yeah.
Jesus wants him to give him up to the Romans.
Well, and that's the only way that it makes any goddamn sense anyways.
Mm-hmm. And
imagine if there was a chance that Jesus didn't get killed, what would the religion be?
That's true.
Like, the whole thing has to be a setup. It was a game. Yeah. It was a two-man game.
Sure.
Like, it was a con.
Like Alex and Roger Stone.
Exactly.
maybe their end game is to sacrifice Trump, much like Jesus. Holy shit.
All right, there we go.
Now we're getting to it.
Now we've got it.
Maybe Alex's role is to eventually be the Judas.
And then we get to watch Trump get publicly crucified. Like that would be solid.
Like you called for in episode 2.
I didn't call for it. I said it would be fine.
I think you called for it.
I didn't say it's a good idea.
No, you called for it, but with the stipulation of a trial and all
that's
that,
true.
All that
that's
nonsense.
Right. Legal.
So,
just like Jesus.
Right.
He got a fair trial.
Man, I've been going back and reading a lot of scripture as a 33-year-old man.
How's it going?
It's interesting. There's a lot of stuff that I didn't remember. There's a lot of angles to I don't want to get too into it right now. I'm not prepared to give my thesis.
Okay. But your Bible thesis?
Yeah, there's a
your Jesus thesis.
So Jordan, this
yes, Dan.
This next clip
I'm going to give myself a point for that one.
This next clip is one of the most inappropriate things I've ever heard on the show, but not in a like horrifying way, just in a I'm not okay with this. I'm really not okay with this.
It just bums you out. It's just a very uncool thing to say.
You'll be very bummed out too.
Oh,
it's Alex taking a caller.
Said I want to take a bunch of calls. It's one caller is all I got to there. Christian in Texas, you're on the air. Then Julia.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Oh yeah, Alex, thanks for taking my call.
Always
I'm 14 years
accent.
Old, but I've been listening to your show for about 2 years. But,
what?
I told, my parents and some friends, and I said, you know, I'm not old enough to vote, but, you know, people who are 18 and older adults have the, you know, they can vote, and it affects them. Whatever, you know, what happened in this country affects them and affects, you know, us, the youth. But, you know, about Donald
You're
Trump.
Going places with
I
that
just,
kind of analysis.
You know, he seems good what he's talking about. And he seems like he's would
racist.
Make a great president, but I just have the feeling that if he does become president, that he's gonna be just like Obama. You know, he went out there and said, "Oh, I'm not gonna take your shotguns, I'm not gonna take your handguns, and I'm not gonna take your semi-autos." But look what he's trying to do.
So here we have a 14-year-old calling into InfoWars who's been listening for 2 years since he was 12,
right.
Since he was in the 6th grade. He's listening to this toxic garbage.
Who let him listen to this?
Bad parents. So he's listening to Alex Jones, ostensibly, I would assume, regularly. And he calls in, and what does he do? He just directly mirrors the opinions that Alex Jones expounds. So you have a guy who's calling in who's not an adult. His brain is still forming. And it's clear.
And it's not doing a great job of it.
Well, it's clear that Alex Jones is having a profound impact on him.
Absolutely.
This kid doesn't understand the nuances of gun control issues even. And he's saying that Obama was trying to take your gun. He wasn't. He didn't do it. He didn't do any of that stuff.
They're still trying to make it. They're still trying to make it seem like he did.
Yeah, well, this is 2015, so Obama was still in office.
Right.
But be that as it may, like, this is so inappropriate. If a 14-year-old like tweeted at me and said they liked our show, I would be like, please don't listen to the show. As even though I agree with the things I'm saying,
that's not what I would do. I would be like, all right, you need to become a policy wonk.
Give us
we're
some
gonna
money.
Need your lunch money, kid.
You're gonna shake down that 14-year-old?
Why not? They're young and impressionable. Let's con 14-year-olds. Why haven't we picked up on this game, man?
Well, because it's super immoral.
It's super immoral.
It's what cult leaders do.
Yeah.
This is cult shit.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
And Alex Jones's response to this 14-year-old calling in should be something along the lines of, "Hey, dude, you can't drive. You can't see R-rated movies. You should not be listening to my show. There's a lot of adult content on this show, and, you know, a lot, I mean, it's covered under free speech for the most part, everything he says. It's not illegal to say, but it is, there needs to be parental discretion.
It's not pretty.
You can't have a kid listening to Chimera shit. Cause that kid can't research that. He's not gonna be able to figure out, like, the nuances of science and what Alex is actually talking about. He's not gonna be able to figure out that he's being lied to. And it's evidenced by the fact that he's just mirroring Alex.
And he's called. What 14-year-old calls into a radio show?
I called into the radio when I was 14.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What'd you talk about?
I just requested songs and shit.
Well, there you go.
I called in to like...
Did you request Chimeras of the Heart? I remember that song.
Yeah, I think... no, I called in to... I called in and asked them to play the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones. That's what I called in for.
There you go.
Called into the Hot 5 at 9.
Yeah, there you go.
Try to get Y107. Can't remember what all the radio stations were back in Columbia. But, like, yeah, I tried to get them to play the Boss Tones. This was my big first radio, my break.
Okay.
I always had a fairly deep voice growing up. And so I called in, and I played the role of an adult. And I told the guy, like, I'll give you my house. I'll give you my wife. I'll give you my car. Just play some of those Boss Tones. Because I knew if I said something like that, he'd play
something
it on the
lunatic.
Air.
Something lunatic, yeah, of course.
And of course he does.
Of course.
I'm sitting there listening to the radio, and of course, it's not nothing's live, so he had just recorded that and used it as a bumper to play the impression that I get. And I was like, I'm on the fucking radio.
Yeah.
Felt great.
You conned him.
No, not really. I just...
You lied.
No,
you lied.
It was symbiotic. Because I never said I was an adult. I just let him believe that I
okay,
was.
Okay, all right.
But be that as it may...
Yeah, that's how con artists aren't like... Okay, never mind.
This is what 14-year-olds should be doing. Not listening to Alex
listening
Jones.
Listening to the... I do not support 14-year-olds listening to the Mighty Mighty Boss.
They have some
Jones.
Great social messages.
Do not support it.
So the other thing, though, too, is...
Go back to Mambo number 5, kid. All right, I'll give you a point for that one.
You got a negative point?
Yeah, I got a negative point.
So the thing though there is the kid does have a good point in as much as politics does affect us.
Right.
As well, I can't vote, but what happens does affect people who are too young to vote. That's a great point. And there is a discussion that should be had around that. I don't know, maybe call Linda Ellerbee instead.
Right.
Host of Nick News. You know, do something like that. Like there's more appropriate venues for getting kids involved in expressing themselves.
Yeah, like Rock the Vote.
Right. Things that aren't InfoWars.
Anything that's not InfoWars.
Anyway, this call's not done.
Oh, no.
I hear you, and God bless you, Christian. As a 14-year-old listening for 2 years, what perspective has this broadcast given you?
Oh, God, no.
It's really opened up my eyes and to see what's going on. I mean, I used to, you know, I didn't care for the news, but I figured out that, you know, all this stuff, it affects us, and that, you know, and today's in schools, as me going to school, I mean, I realized that they're pretty much brainwashing us, and the stuff that they say, it's ridiculous.
Oh, it's outrageous. You know, bad-mouthing the Constitution, bad-mouthing the institution of marriage. Now they're saying marriage is bad because it hurts people's feelings. Again, it's cult-like. Good to hear from you. Appreciate your call. Julia in Kentucky, you're on the air.
That's inexcusable.
That's fucked up.
Alex Jones should not be signing off on what a 14-year-old believes.
Especially not like, hey, kid, don't believe that school you go to.
Right.
They're lying to you.
Yeah.
That school that you're going to, the one that's teaching you things, that's filling your brain with knowledge. Maybe you're going to learn about math. Maybe you're going to learn about art. Maybe you're going to learn about literature. Nope. It's all lies. Only InfoWars.
It's good to have an inquisitive mind and a healthy distrust. Those things are good. They are things that you should encourage in youth. Critical thinking skills. Those sorts of things are absolutely good. But what's not good is demonizing all authority figures and saying that they're trying to brainwash you. That's not healthy because then you grow up super paranoid.
Right.
You grow up with a perception that anything that seems official can't be trusted.
You become Eddie Bravo. This is young Eddie Bravo.
Dinosaurs aren't real.
Yeah, this is young Eddie Bravo. He's going to mellow out. He's not going to be angry. He's just going to be dumb forever.
Your underlying thesis is that Eddie Bravo in modern day is 17 years old. Which I don't know if I agree with. But, yeah, so that would be bad. If Alex Jones had a regular show.
Right.
And like, I grew up listening to Loveline all the time.
Right.
And they would get callers who were fairly young, and it was...
Because everybody fucks.
Well, or they have concerns about puberty and stuff like that, and that's relevant to the show.
Right.
And though Adam Carolla did make a lot of jokes, they always tried to deal with people in a very sensitive way. Dr. Drew did a lot of... you could tell he put in a lot of effort into understanding what your brain is like when you're 14 and not trying to fuck with that brain.
Right.
So while it is still super weird that 14-year-olds were calling two adult men at midnight.
Yep.
That's weird. It was
super weird.
It was dealt with in a healthy and productive way. Like, it wasn't, it's not this. This is, I think it maybe should be illegal for Alex to say those things to a 14-year-old.
That is a good question. That is a really good question. The only problem there is then you start getting into just how far, like, is it any media that says bullshit like this? Like,
I know.
I think you shouldn't be allowed to watch Fox News.
I know.
If you're under the age of alive.
80. I know that it does. It does introduce, and I shouldn't have brought up making it illegal or whatever,
because right.
that's not really what I mean, but in a perfect world where there's good parenting, a kid should not be listening to
right.
this.
The fucking world went crazy because they saw Janet Jackson's tit for 2 seconds,
mm-hmm.
but a 14-year-old is allowed to listen to this shit.
Well, yeah, and this next clip is really demonstrative of what kids should not be listening to.
We're going to go to Rich and others here in just a moment. Then I'm going to come back, hit a bunch of news we haven't really hit yet, play some important clips. You know, I don't want to say I have Ferguson fatigue.
Oh, no. No,
just
don't
to
say
see the public being played, because there is some police brutality. There is militarization of police. There are a lot of real problems.
Wave it away. No big deal.
But the feds are globalist occupied. They want to smash local police departments, run them into the arms of the globalist. And that's why George Soros is spending over $100 million, 30-plus million in Ferguson alone, to stir this up, and has really hired a lot of nasty political operators to do it. And in most of the cases, the justifiable shootings the police are engaged in. There are other ones where they're absolutely executions. And when there's evidence of it, they're indicting the police officers.
Nope.
There's video of just a cop pulls a gun and just shoots a white person for no reason, or shoots a black person. It's crazy. And bigger than population, blacks being 13%, black males being about 6%, it is disproportionate black males being killed in cold blood.
Good.
You just can't deny it.
Stop.
But
stop.
But
stop right
compared
there.
Compared to
no, stop right there.
Dying from abortion or you know, heart disease and all this other stuff, it just doesn't even show up on the scale.
Kids should not hear angles like that. They don't know how to parse the nuance of stuff
yeah.
like that and realize where the lie is, where's the manipulation.
It's terrible that not human beings are not allowed to become human beings, and it's terrible that old human beings are dying of shit old people die of.
Right.
But, you know, it's not that bad that young men with families
are executed.
Murdered.
Yeah.
Murdered, and there are no consequences for it.
Well, he even
and
lies
justice
there.
Does not exist.
He lies there, and he says that the cops are being indicted. Well,
yeah.
Actually, that might not be true. They are being indicted, but then
yeah.
they're being acquitted.
Yeah.
So it's not. It's the system in his head where it all works out. It doesn't.
Yeah.
It does
no.
not work out.
That's why we're angry about it.
And he's fully aware. There again, in the same way that it's a revelation that he's aware that the Tea Party is susceptible to fascism.
Right.
He just said right there, he's fully aware that statistically, black men are being killed by the police in very anomalous numbers.
And yet at the same time, he still denies that racism really exists.
He's never seen white people being racist.
Exactly. How do you reconcile those two things?
I actually think this next clip actually helps.
Oh,
I think we might be able to reconcile some
oh,
of
no.
it.
Oh, no. I don't want to reconcile the two.
It doesn't really, but I think it explains where some of his inability to think comes from.
We need to get Mike Judge live on the
That's
show. He's a big listener, listens all the time. He even let me shoot video of us shooting out of his house a couple times. I never aired it for some reason. I need to air that video. It's a pretty good video. Well, I got a little excited during one shot. It's probably why I haven't aired it.
I got a boner.
We've got like 15 people shooting 308s, AR-15s, you name it, at huge boxes of Tannerite. I say huge boxes, you know, maybe 5-10 pound boxes. And while I'm talking, a couple of them blow up and there's pieces of, cinder block flying around. And, one of them hits me in the back of the head. Maybe
Jesus
that's why I never
Christ.
Put that video out. But, it was good fun.
He's walking brain damage.
Yeah. Maybe that's why he has the inability to integrate information.
He may literally be brain damaged.
He was stuck under a house inhaling fumes as a child. He said that he got his head smashed around, knocked in the concrete when he was young. He's an adult here. He's telling a story about shooting explosives and a cinder block came flying out of an explosion and hit him in
the back of the head.
That's fucking serious.
Yeah. At the very least, that's a concussion.
Yeah, that can kill you.
Yeah.
That should kill you.
And his mom didn't love him, so we figured it out.
There's the
this is all of Alex Jones right here. Brain damage and poor parenting.
It's emotional damage and brain damage synthesized into one person who just is unable to really deal with what facts are. He doesn't know how to read, probably because some of this brain damage. So he reads things. He assumes the worst. He thinks that people are winking at him.
Oh, that also explains why he took 30 minutes to read that 2-minute long article.
Probably, that Daily Caller article.
Exactly.
Explains why he thinks he's talking to ghosts.
Exactly.
Explains why all of this is just a man. We
have a grand unified field theory of Alex Jones. And that is he is brutally brain damaged.
We need to get him a CT scan.
Yeah.
But be that as it may, even if you have brain damage, like, there are moments of lucidity, and maybe
that's what this Trump thing is.
Yeah, these moments of insight about Trump and the inevitable slide into fascism are the vestiges of his brain that works.
Right.
And maybe taking all of these supplements,
is it helping?
It killed the rest of the brain that worked.
That's possible.
Yeah, this might ironically be a Flowers for Algernon situation.
A reverse Flowers for Algernon, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So maybe we need to get a mouse brain in him.
Yeah. I'm ooh, that'd be fun.
Yeah. So we got two more clips here. We got one last one from August 10th.
Right.
And like I said earlier, we got the perspective of Joe Jennings, the employee of InfoWars, who had some negative things to say about Trump. And now Alex wants to ask Anthony Gucciardi, the guy who runs naturalnews.com.
Right. And I assume Joe Jennings has already been killed off screen.
They eat him.
Yeah.
So I don't think we made a fine enough point about the fact that InfoWars employee Anthony Gucciardi writes these blogs on naturalnews.com, then Alex reports on it as news.
Yeah.
I don't think we clarified that that's the cycle.
Yeah.
But it is a vicious propaganda cycle.
Right, right, right. Because it seems like it's independent confirmation when it is absolutely not.
Not even close.
No.
And so Anthony Gucciardi is sitting in, he's not in studio, he's back in the control booth. And Alex wants to get his perspective about Trump.
At the same time, it's like, yes, he is blackmailable. Yes. Also, it's a cost-benefit analysis. Is the Hillary campaign going to actually pay him off more money to side with them? But he's going and being real, and that's what people like. People like
so that's the
reality.
Message is people want genuine. Even
racism.
If he's not really genuine, the appearance genuine of
racism.
Genuine is king.
Yeah, exactly.
Even if he's not genuine, the appearance of genuine is king.
Absolutely.
That's another revelatory
again,
moment.
Again, right on it.
Yeah. And I think that he takes that to heart. He takes his own lesson to heart because he screams now all the time about how I'm real.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. We're seeing the foundation here.
This is such a weird twisting and turning investigation.
Yeah.
It's bananas.
But I think brain damage does explain a whole lot.
I think brain damage really gets to the heart of it.
Yeah. I think we should crowdsource like a CT scan.
a compulsory CT scan?
Yeah. Or, I mean, he could volunteer for it, but like really make a big deal out of it. Be like, Alex Jones, we will get on auto ship if you submit to a brain scan.
Fuck, we'll even buy one of each color of those t-shirts that never got made.
I'll wear CNN as ISIS shirts around.
Oh, for sure.
I don't give a shit.
That actually sounds like a fun shirt.
If you get checked out, you won't do it, though.
No. I bet he has CTE. I bet he has memory loss. I bet he's fucking, he's hurting.
Well, yeah, I mean,
Let's steal his brain.
Someone should study it.
Yeah.
When you are...
We'll reverse inject it.
When you are the victim of traumas to your head when you're younger, it makes a huge impact when you're older. As opposed to when you're like 20, you can get hit around the head a little bit, it's not so bad. But he talks about these rites of passage and all these fights that he got in when he was like 12 to 16, which is the sweet spot for a really bad thing happening.
Yeah.
That's why people are concerned about people who play football in like junior high or high school.
Absolutely.
Is that like if you get a concussion at that age, it's way more serious.
You could be fucked up for good.
For the rest of your life.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I mean, we're compiling this evidence. It really looks like that's what's going on with him.
Wow.
Yeah. So we're done with August 10th.
Yeah.
Except we're not quite.
How is this possible?
On August 10th, Alex teased for the next day. He's got an interview with a huge astronaut. He's like, this astronaut got in touch with me. I don't say his name. He's a big deal.
Okay.
This astronaut got in touch.
All right.
And he wants to break some big news.
Since we know he talks to ghosts, I'm assuming it's one of the Challenger.
It's Sally Ride.
Yeah, exactly.
It's great. He said he wants to break some big news here on the show. We're going to have it. Going to interview him tomorrow. Tune in. It's going to be great. He's teasing the fuck out of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I turn on August 11th.
Right.
And it's goddamn David Knight hosting.
Bullshit!
So I'm like, what's going on?
Right.
And David Knight's like, Alex Jones is going to be in later. So we
skip astronaut.
Skip forward quite a bit.
Yeah.
And we get to his interview with a gentleman by the name of Story Musgrave. And
I did not know that name. If that is an astronaut, that name should be all over NASA.
Story Musgrave is a huge astronaut.
Is he a large?
He's legit.
Okay.
I looked him up.
Cool.
He's done a lot of really great work. He was involved with designing space stations and shit.
That's cool as fuck.
He's done a lot of missions in space.
That's fucking awesome.
He's super legit. Now,
how does this go?
Well,
this can't go well.
So I want to give you a couple of important factors.
I just wish that it went well, but it's not going to go well.
In 2015, he's 90 if he's a day.
Oh, okay.
He had been retired for 18 years.
Okay.
In 2015.
All right.
Alex thinks that he's calling in to give him some big info on the secret space program and shit like that. And be like, tell you about, the wonders of space. And he does. He does tell him, like, about how great space is.
Cool.
And stuff like that. He talks about how the perception of the Earth changes when you're outside of Earth and
right.
you look down on it.
Pale blue dot.
Yeah, that whole thing that you hear from every astronaut that, like, all of your troubles seem so small when you look at the grand scale.
Right.
And you see the universe and you see how everything is much bigger.
Yeah, we need to make sure we defund NASA.
Right.
Otherwise people will get that kind of perspective all over the place.
Alex is trying to lead him down roads that would reveal
conspiracy shit. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the guy is not into it.
Okay.
He just wants to sort of talk about how great his career was and how interesting space travel is and how he wants to encourage people to dream and wants to tell his story. He's awesome.
Yeah, it seems like that's a super awesome guy.
He's fucking awesome. Alex, the whole time, is sitting there with his head in his hand like, oh, God.
No!
He's like, I've blown it.
He finally got a genuinely inspiring message, and he's like, fuck this.
The guy talks about how he...
Even monsters need inspiration.
Well, Story Musgrave is talking about how, like, when he was a boy, he had to drop out of school to work, and he was, like, you know, he wasn't properly educated as a child, went back, became a doctor, and then got into space.
Fuck yeah!
As I recall, has had the most space voyages of any American.
That's fucking awesome!
And he's telling this super inspirational, awesome story, but Alex is so pissed that it's not the interview he thought it was gonna be.
But no!
So I wanna play just-
That's the most interesting thing that he could possibly run!
Yeah, I don't have clips of the actual interview cause it's really visual. Like, Alex's disappointment is super visual.
Right.
But I wanna play the beginning of the interview.
And then the end of the interview?
No, but he does kind of rush out of it.
Okay.
But the beginning is gorgeous. Again, this is a mic down situation because this cannot be beat.
With us today, and I hope we can get him on in the future via Skype or in studio, but Dr. Musgrave, thank you so much for coming on the broadcast with us.
You're welcome, sir. Now, my biggest accomplishment is standing right here to talk to you, and that's my daughter, Little Story Musgrave.
Hi, Alex.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
And she's 9 years old, and I'm gonna let her go now. She's going to go back to the tractors, so she drives tractors. She's got her own ATV. and she drives 360 mowers, and she does that kind of stuff. She's getting the same kind of raising that I did, so she'll be ready for the rocket world when the time comes. Bye-bye, sweetie.
Bye!
Okay, you weren't expecting that, were you?
No, but it's awesome. Listen, I've done my little intro. Obviously, the audience wants to know, what do you know about the info war and the broadcast? We're flattered that you're a listener, sir.
Yes! Oh, God.
What do I know? I'm not sure what I know. I just been to your site and stuff, that's all.
Well, it's good to have you on the broadcast.
I haven't heard the program, so are you mostly an Austin audience?
Sure, well, you were telling me you'd seen some of the videos online and stuff, but I was just curious about, I'm just flattered that you reached out to us. We're honored to have you.
So that's...
fucking great.
That is awesome.
Oh my God, every part of that is gold.
It's so sweet that he has obviously his granddaughter, yeah. Or even great granddaughter, yeah. Who knows, but like that's just adorable.
I'm raising her the way she'll be ready for that, and that's every part of that is awesome. Like anything other than like this girl is fucking destined for great things.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
She's a Musgrave.
Yeah, raising her right. Doing the whole thing.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful. All right, now we want to get back to the...
And then just, I love the... So what do you know about the InfoWar?
Yeah.
Well, I've been to your site. That's about it.
Never really watched or listened to the show. So, is it just Austin?
Is this an Austin thing? That's where Alex turned.
Yeah.
That's where he's like, shit. Because he'd been spinning it as this guy contacted us.
He's going to teach us the
He's a whistleblower
secrets.
Or yeah, something yeah, like yeah. that. And the reality is, I bet that he was in Austin and he contacted them to be like, oh, I'll go on a TV show.
Yeah.
I'll go on there. I'll tell them a little bit about space. I'll educate these people.
That sounds awesome.
Yep. But it is not what Alex wanted.
No.
And fuck.
God, that's too good.
I wish we were a video show. Just so people could see the look in his face when Story Musgrave asks, are you an Austin based? Is your audience mostly in Austin? That is like Alex has his balls cut off in that moment. Just because he knows that he's getting emasculated in front of his own audience, too.
All right. I'm going to give Musgrave a point on
give
that
him 3 points.
I'll give him 3 points.
Yeah, he's going
to
win the
he's
show.
He's going to have to win this one. Yeah.
You know, there's not much else about Trump in the 11th, on the 11th, but man.
That Musgrave shit. Beautiful.
The best laid plans.
I could listen to that all day.
Yeah, yeah. And he is as adorable.
So are you mainly an Austin-based show?
And get this. He asks him again.
Yes! Of course he does.
We're worldwide, sir. We're worldwide. But I mean, he's adorable throughout the entire interview.
Of course.
He
seems awesome.
Yeah, he seems like an awesome dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is, first off, when you say Alex Jones says he has a huge astronaut on the show,
mm-hmm.
First thing I think is it's going to be a fat guy. I don't know why that happened. That happened.
Right.
Second thing I think is this guy was like a janitor at NASA, mm-hmm. like that kind of thing. He's just like wandering around thinking like he saw Good Will Hunting and he's like, that's probably me. I'm an astronaut.
You got to try and war game his lie.
Yeah, like, exactly. I got to figure out what angle this is going to go
that
in. Instead, it's a purely awesome astronaut who's accomplished more than Alex Jones could ever dream of.
And the angle of Alex is lying about building up the interview, but yeah. It's a super legit dude.
Yeah.
Like, that is not what you would ever expect.
No.
And also, I actually wish I had more clips of it, because it would be a really interesting case study into how terrible an interviewer Alex is.
Yeah.
Like, in the same way that Dr. Group comes in and says, my mom was shot in the head 6 times at point blank range with a rifle. And she survived.
Yeah.
Alex doesn't have a follow-up like, what? Hold on now. That's nuts.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to get to the details. In the same way, you can see him being really frustrated that Story Musgrave doesn't want to give him any globalist talk. He wants to just talk about how great NASA is and how important
space
programs
is. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And it's more of a PSA, but you could get a lot of really interesting stories out of him if you're a decent interviewer.
Of course.
And Alex just isn't there to play games.
Oh,
he's not there to play ball.
Oh, yeah. That's so disappointing.
It is.
That would have been such a beautiful spot on the InfoWars show of just like, just nothing but racism and hatred and globalists and all of this shit. And then for one brief shining moment, it's the promise of space.
Sure.
Beautiful.
Could be.
But problem with space? Only four dimensions.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's the same thing with when just the other day in 2017, he had Antonio Sabato Jr. on as a guest.
Uh-huh.
And he didn't ask him once about Earth 2.
Amazing.
That should be all he talks
about.
That's
the whole thing.
Yeah, that's the breakaway civilization.
Oh, boy.
Earth 2.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, they're going to run into Tim Curry up there. It's weird. Weird. Love Earth 2. Watched that shit as a kid. Had a huge crush on True Danziger. She's a little 10-year-old kid on that show. I was 10 when I was watching it.
All right.
I had
a
huge
Dan.
Crush on
it. All right, Dan.
Had a huge.
Let this one go.
Pippi Longstocking.
Pull this one back.
Platonic crush.
Negative 2 points, my friend. That means Story Musgrave is the winner for today.
Look, this girl, True.
You're still going.
Well, here's the thing. It's actually really fucked up.
Okay.
So I had this like childish crush on the girl on Earth 2.
Right.
And I had these like sort of fantasies of us being friends and running around Earth 2 together and discovering stuff. You know, as you do as a 10-year-old child, that's the version of a crush you have.
Right.
In the same way, like I wanted to get into hijinks with Pippi Longstocking.
Of course.
So,
that's a very normal thing to want.
I think so. She was fun. So when I got older, I think I was in college, I remembered Earth 2 and I went back and watched it. And it's, you know, it's kind of jarring to have this memory of a childish crush and then go back as an older person and see the child.
Right. And so, be like, ooh.
Well, and so I was like, I wonder what she's up to now. I wonder what she, you know, if she's attractive.
So you looked her up on Facebook.
I didn't look her up on Facebook. I looked her up on Wikipedia and it turned out she died at 24.
No.
Yeah.
Of bad things?
Heart defect.
Aww.
Yep. She had given up acting to become a teacher. And then, had a bum heart and died. And it was one of the biggest bummers ever.
That is a super bummer.
You
thanks
might
for
give
sharing
me another
that.
Negative
thanks for sharing that. Yeah. Jesus Christ, dude.
Glad I shoehorned that.
Yeah,
in.
No kidding. This podcast would be nothing without that story.
If you want to find more sad stories about my life, you can go to knowledgefight.com where I guarantee, actually, there's no stories about my life on there. Just sad facts about Alex Jones. Also, you can follow us on Twitter if you'd like.
@knowledge_fight.
Correct.
Look us up on iTunes. Leave a review. People like that. And so does iTunes. And that means more people get to see us.
I have not actually posted anything on it yet, but we are on Facebook.
But so we're there.
We have some people who have followed and given reviews on Facebook. We appreciate it. Thank you very much. Also, if you want to donate to the show, you can. There is a button on the website, support the show. And you can give a little money, become a policy wonk.
Absolutely. And a friend of the show, a friend of ours, Matt Drufke, would like it very much, Dan, if you added a portion to the website wherein you list the novelty drinks that we've gone through.
Oh, we should put up a review section.
Exactly.
Maybe we make that on the Patreon page. It's an exclusive for people to donate. That'll really drive traffic.
That'll really do it. That's the one. It'll just be coconut juice? Question mark.
Yeah.
To be determined.
Coming soon.
Yeah.
Forever. That's the running gag. Also, speaking of coming soon, I don't want to tell tales out of school, but there's a little podcast called That's What They Want You to Think that might be coming back.
Uh-oh.
So look for that in the future.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, if you don't know what I'm talking about, I don't care.
That's a weirdly aggressive way to end this.
I'm trying to be mysterious.
Okay.
Anyway, guys, thanks for listening. We do appreciate it very much.
Thank you so much.
Unfortunately, my childhood crush from Earth 2 is no longer with
still
us.
Still going back to it.
Well, it's, you know, she's no longer with us. And
there is
sad.
Good news. There is good news, Dan.
Please brighten my
Let
day.
Me tell you the good news.
What's that?
Rappaport still lives.
Thank God.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.